Greetings. Hey, hey, hey. All right, it looks like we have some people coming in. All right. There's Big Marcus.
Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, Marcus, how are you?
What's going on, Todd? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas. I am, this is exciting. I'm going to, looks like we're getting some people coming in. Let me just stream this live and then I can focus. Ab, you're there. Yeah. Well, between Ab and Marcus at the beginning, if you guys wouldn't mind, let me, if you guys don't mind, make you co-hosts. And if there's anybody that comes in while I'm going to try to let everybody come in. And while I'm focusing on that, if there's somebody that pops in that, that maybe has something to say, maybe you guys could help moderate. That would be awesome.
By the way, congratulations on the Cole Robinson look to your face.
The what?
The Cole Robinson look to your face. You look great.
What is Cole Robinson?
The guy who did the fasting.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, you look great.
Thank you. Well, I hit 199, but over the last couple of days, admittedly, back up to like 202. So my last refeeds today, but that's okay. Oh, look, Karen Blake's in here. All right. This is so fun. Let me do this while I continue to let people come in. I'm just going to start things off. I'm going to go live.
Mal wieder eine Krone auf. Achtung, unser Weihnachtsmann bietet ab das Jahr 2020 eine Krone auf. Achtung, OMG. Unser Weihnachtsmann bietet ab das Jahr 2020.
Everybody wanna see what it's like, we even wanna be inside, it ain't last, we all know there's better things in this life.
Stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
This is my favorite, Christmas card coming up here, everyone, because I have an odd sense of humor. All right. Greetings, everyone. Greetings. Let me just do one more thing here, and I need to admit in, looks like OEM. Oh, this is fun. This is fun. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Christmas. I am super excited that this is our first, I think, annual Christmas get-together, our extended family reunion. Right back here somewhere through the forest, you'll find – it's over there to the left. You'll find the little kids' round table. So we'll all gather to there later to say cheers and eat a big drumstick or whatever they do at the round table. But I wanted to just thanks for those of you who have already chimed in. And I hope that over this couple hour period that others will. The purpose of this is, as discussed on a previous video, you know, we've all been impacted by COVID-1984. And it has impacted many of us with our family relationships. Oftentimes, probably for those who are in here, oftentimes it's the ones that we're shunned. We're not welcome because we are likely asymptomatic silence assassins because we aren't prone to wear masks. And so we're not invited. And there are also mandates that are out there. I know our friends up north in Canada, I don't know if you can get arrested if you go over to a family member's house and they catch you. I don't know. I don't care. But was talking to Ab the other day, and we thought it might be kind of fun to get us all on the line and just put some faces with some names, or at least some voices with some names. And the more, the merrier. But since Karen is the first to be able to show your lovely face, would you please just let us know, Karen, where are you from? And tell us a little bit about yourself. And Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Uncle Arden. Thanks for the invite. My name's Karen. I am in Warwickshire in the UK. This is my house. Behind me. I'm actually sitting in my crafting room right now. And in the UK, it is just gone past 6 p.m. So we're all full of food. And yeah, about to
wow, we caught you pre-nap.
Yeah, it's getting to that point. We've watched The Italian Job on the TV, and it doesn't get much more exciting than that right now.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, thank you for chiming in, and we have another face. I'm just going to give love you all, and I'm going to get to everyone, but just real quickly, John, since you just piped in, thank you for muting. But if you would go ahead and unmute and just let us know where you're from and tell us a little bit about yourself, John. Here, let me. Yeah, there you go. Unmute.
Do you mean John as in John Le Bon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, listen, Uncle Todd, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me. And I do appreciate what you're doing.
My God, John. I have to tell you, all I saw was John. I saw you, you know, in your Santa outfit, and I didn't even put two and two together. Thank you, John. It's great seeing you.
Now, Uncle Todd, I had to be here, man, for two reasons. Firstly, it's the festive season. I have to say hello.
Hello. But
secondly, I do owe you a public apology for what happened a couple of months ago. I've apologized privately.
I know.
I owe you a public apology. We organized a time to talk to each other, and things didn't work out. My fault, 100%.
No.
We tried to organize a second time, and it was again my fault, and I felt terrible. So publicly, I want to say to people, it was my fault, and I'm sorry about that. And hopefully, Todd, in the future,
yes,
you can forgive me deep down.
Well, in the future, what I'll do is, you know, Uncle Odd, he tends to, once the clock rolls to 2021, the Holy Spirit of the universe has promised me that I'm going to get a little smarter. So what I'll do is I'll schedule the interview with you, or the discussion with you, at a time that isn't at the crack of ass. How about that? Your time.
Well, here's the best part, Todd. Here's where it works out great. I'm moving to Bulgaria. Okay. So the time zone will be perfect. No more me waking up early in the morning.
It'll be
about, I think, 1 p.m. in the afternoon for your 8 or 9 p.m. There's no chance I'll sleep in then.
Oh, okay? My goodness. You have me at hello. Why Bulgaria?
Well, look, I'll tell you all about it later in the show, but you've still got more introductions to go. So I'm going to go back on mute. But let me just say, Uncle Todd, you've done great work this year.
I think what you're
doing with the whole court legal thing, you've stuck at it. You've built up an audience. It's fantastic. And I love to see it. And I just feel bad that I couldn't help you because I'm too stupid to wake up for an alarm. So I can't even take a shred of credit for what you've done. I'd love to, but it's been all you, and you've done a great job. So I will still be here, and I'll be here for any questions later, but
awesome.
Get back on with the rest of the show.
Okay, thank you, John. And first of all, I have to, Ab. Can you hop on real quick, my partner in non-crime, my partner in trying to expose all the shenanigans that are going on? Can you unmute, Ab? Are you around? There we go. Nope. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Well, if I may introduce Marcus Allen, and for those of you who don't know Marcus Allen, he has forgotten more about anything conspiracy related than I'll ever know, and probably most will ever know. And he has promised promised us a special gift for this show. So I can't wait, Marcus. Welcome.
Hey, Todd. Hey, guys. What's up, John LeBon? Long time no speak. Merry Christmas.
Merry.
And I make no apologies for anything. So let's just get to the good news. All right, so I'm going to post in the chat the good news. Take a look at that.
Let me see.
And click on it.
Okay. Let me share my screen. Okay. I can see that. The official thoughts of COVID.
And this is legit. I've checked it out. So if you fill out your thoughts, you know, there are like 8 or 9 questions. Should vaccines be mandatory? No.
I see.
And then
so you want me to go ahead and do this? Should they be mandatory? I'm going to say no.
And then are you getting the COVID-19 vaccine? No. Was the government reaction to COVID-19 worse than the virus? Yes. Do you support lockdowns or military involvement? No. Should masks be mandatory? No. Do you trust the World Health Organization? No. Was COVID-19 politicized by mainstream media? Yes. So what happens is you're going to see amazing results. That's going to put a smile on your face. Merry Christmas.
Wait. Okay. So, all right. So this is telling me that 94% of the people voted like me. I like that. I like that.
Take a look at the other ones.
What do you mean?
Are you getting the COVID-19 vaccine? 90.91%.
No. I'm with you. Yeah, so we're talking 9-1. Easy here. Easy.
Is that not good news?
I think it's great news, but when I go to the grocery store, it's the alternative. So I'm like, this is the upside down world. This is 2020. So even though public opinion says this privately, publicly, they are all wimps.
Right. So I don't think they're wimps. I think they're scared. I think there are three types of people. I think there's the awake people like us. There are the scared people who are somewhat awake. And then there are the dead. And what you're seeing in the stores is a combination of the dead and the scared. And what I'm going to do for 2021, I make this promise, and it's going to start in 2 weeks, is I'm going to make it so that you can put these little videos out to the scared people and wake
them up. Okay. I look forward to those. So it's just going to be think about the – so if we do a fake11.com/whatever think about what that whatever word would be, because that would be kind of a fun little repository to be able to have to just give people a link to that. I like that. Anything that I can do to side attack someone that's out there, I do have to share. I had so much fun yesterday in the store. Because, and I don't know if you're aware or not, but I've been collecting answers to why aren't you wearing a mask? And I have so many now. I'm going to do a video to where I answer that, you know, I don't know. I'm even thinking about maybe I'll dress up as different people or whatever to give the answer. But anyway, had a good one yesterday, I think. This woman, why aren't you wearing a mask? And I said, because I don't plan on robbing this place. Merry Christmas. And I walked away. And she just gives me this dumbfounded look. But I kind of like that answer.
Yeah, I understand why you'd want to give that answer. I feel a little bit more compassion than most people in the truth scene with these people. Yes, they're sheep. I completely understand it. If you watch television and you watch everything from newsletters to entertainment to football to all the rest of it, we are getting absolutely blitzed with scare. And I completely understand why people are scared. I went to the Chinese restaurant yesterday for the last time because I don't wear a mask. And I went in and this guy came in and he looked straight in my eyes. He said, "You're a fucking asshole."
What?
And then, oh, yeah. And the owner, and I laughed, and the owner of the place now doesn't want me there because his customer said, I'm a very good customer. I'm there twice a week. I never ask for a discount. I'm the easiest customer you can get. And he doesn't want me there anymore because I'm causing a disturbance.
Boy.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm a little bit concerned about with 2021. So again, I'm very optimistic about 2021, but there's a great awakening right now. And people need to know what's going on. When I talk to people, I went to Planet Fitness. I'll tell another quick story. And I went to the gym, and in Pennsylvania, they closed down the gyms. So I took my Planet Fitness membership and I switched it on the app to Maryland, where it's still open.
Mm-hmm.
I went into the locker room, spoke to a bunch of guys. Half of them were wearing the mask, half were not. And I said, hey, guys, what's the scoop with the mask? And they told me, and I own the fact that I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I own the fact that I am an anti-vaxxer. I'm like, listen, I'm the biggest conspiracy theorist on the planet. As soon as I said that, they dropped the mask and they circled around. They always circle around me and they want to know more. And I'm like, did you know about this? Did you know about the Great Reset? Do you know about the fourth the fourth industrial revolution? And they go, no, what is that? See, no one knows because they're all watching the regular media. So they just need these little tiny videos to go out. And this is what the scoop is. And that's something that I've done a terrible job on, and I'm going to improve on that. And that's going to happen in 2 weeks.
Okay. So will they all be 2 minutes, 19 seconds or less?
Actually, I've changed that because what we're going to do is what you're talking about is Operation Wake 'Em Up, which we've talked about a couple months ago. The problem is 2 minutes and 20 seconds actually is too long for sending it via text. And that's going to be the secret weapon.
Oh.
See, everything right now is censored. You know that. Twitter is going to be censored soon. But they haven't censored texting yet.
Okay.
So I think the next avenue to go after is texting.
And what is the length on text?
Is 90 seconds.
90 seconds. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. So we're going to make 90-second videos that you can send to your list. And I have a whole video series that I'm going to make on how to do it the right way. And I think that's going to wake a lot of people up.
Okay, good. I'm all for it. You are optimistic about 2021.
Yes, I am.
I am happy you are. I'm very pessimistic about 2021 because I don't see people taking the boot off the neck. And because of these vaccines, now is, I think, when it's going to get really, really uncomfortable because I believe or submit they are going to come out with this, whatever you call it, vax passport or whatever. And I think it's just going to make things really, really difficult if you want to integrate or navigate through society. And I hope I'm wrong. Man, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm not going to hog up your Christmas call today. I'll just end with this. Okay. Alan Watt always says the hardest part about what's going to happen in the coming decade is to keep your sanity.
Okay.
If you can keep your sanity, you're going to win.
Okay. I'm game for that. Well, that's part of the reason why we're having this call, frankly, or Zoom chat, is because I think there are a lot of sane people out there who are like-minded, who are dealing with insane, times. And if we can hold on to the fact that no, we aren't going insane, they are. Or they may be afraid, or they may be dead. I really have come around, and John, I don't know what your percentage is, but I've come around to the fact that I submit that, dare I say it, maybe 95% of the people out there are NPCs. I mean, I really, really believe that they just lack the ability to critically think. And that may be way too high. And Marcus, I am going to give a lot of thought to the scared component. You could be right.
I hope that was a throw to me. So hopefully in the next call, we can come back and have this conversation. Because this is to me, this is one of the most important conversations. How many of the people around us are truly capable of thinking or of waking up?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are still stuck in this idea of, oh, most people can think, which that might be the case. That's what I used to believe. I no longer believe that. So hopefully later in the call, we can come back and talk about this.
Yeah,
because I think this is one of the most important conversations. And hopefully Marcus can stick around for that. Because get this, Todd, and to Karen and to Andre, who I haven't actually spoken with before. Hopefully we can introduce ourselves later on.
Yeah.
Marcus was covering topics that I'm covering today almost a decade ago. So for me, Marcus and Fakeologist, they're kind of like my truth uncles. However, I feel like I've gone beyond what they did. And Marcus and Ab are here to tell me I'm wrong. And we can have a conversation about that. So I'm getting, guys, this is going to be fun. I've got a bottle of water. I'm sobering up. This is going to be something special. And I cannot wait to promote this to all of my members at johnlebon.com. This is going to be special. So Marcus and Ab, you guys stick around. This could be the creme de la creme of 2020 independent content. Yeah.
I love this. And by the way, and you know, I'm not going to, this is a small jab at Peggy Hall. I love her. She has been such a beacon of hope for all of us at the Healthy American. But yesterday she posted a video and the first 3 minutes was like this. Just imagine, was a different product. It was turmeric. But as I'm ready to hear another truth drop, hey, everyone, Uncle Lot here. And today we're going to talk about non-player characters. We have a special guest, John LeBon. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you about Smart Water. Smart Water really makes you smart. And if you go to uncleod.smart.com, then you can pick, and it was like 3 minutes of just some other script that was written for, and I felt bad, but I had to post a comment just saying, please, please, please take this as constructive. I said, but at the point in time you begin your videos with obvious, you know, peddling of somebody else's product with scripts that they wrote, you're going to lose people. Do it again, you're going to lose me. And she will. It's just, but anyway, I digress there. Okay. Let me, oh my goodness gracious. Let me admit you, Christine. Sorry. And Andre, can you unmute and come on in and introduce yourself? Let's get around to introducing everyone.
Sure. Can you hear me first off?
You better believe it. Welcome, yeah. Andre.
I'll try my video.
Oh, there you go. Oh, excellent. Good seeing you.
Right on. Well, thank you. I'm signing in from Ashland, Oregon on the West Coast.
Wow.
And yeah, you reached me all the way over here. And it's
you're in the belly of the beast.
Oh God, am I not? And not to mention that is I was born and raised in Hawaii, which is the most lockdown severe state.
Yeah.
And my parents are there, my brother, my sisters. And in fact, my partner and my son are flying off to Hawaii tomorrow, and I am not joining them. And I'm not joining them for you know, you can imagine, for just kind of.
I can totally imagine because I am not in Colorado skiing right now with my family because I won't do it. I'm just not going to battle the mass Nazis.
Well, yeah, and not to mention to go to Hawaii, you have two choices. You can take a PCR test ahead of time, which we all know is scientifically meaningless.
Yes.
Or you can go to Hawaii and commit yourself to 14 days of quarantine. So fortunately, my partner and my son found a spit-only test where it doesn't even touch you. You spit into it. It's still a sham, as we all know.
Oh, that's a way better sham, though.
It's a way better sham. And they just got the results yesterday.
I bet you it was a truther. It's somebody who believes it's a sham who came out with it because that's a very smart entrepreneur saying, you know what? People just need to fake it. That's why right here. No, I'm not showing you a tattoo. But some entrepreneur is going to get a little, you know, something that looks like a shoulder. You put a little makeup in there, and then your doctor isn't even going to know it. They can jab you right there in the shoulder, and it's going to go in to this fake skin, and it's going to insert into there, and then you're going to No, instead of doing this, you'll hit the non-jab arm like Dr. Fauci. And
I saw that.
Okay, sorry, I interrupt.
Oh, no problem. So, the reason I joined this call is because I could relate to your sentiments with your daughter, for example, and just the division that's happening in families. And for me, it was just I can't participate in that this moment in time by taking a test or quarantining. And yeah. Also, to be honest, I didn't want to fly back because Hawaii is my place of birth. And I lived there until 8 years ago. So I'm okay. 50 years old, moved to Oregon.
Wow.
And I don't want to go back to Hawaii and see
a different memory.
All of my family, my friends, my town, my island, people masked everywhere and being absurd. And I didn't want to hold a memory of my parents. I want to hold the original memory, of all of that.
Hey, Andre, can I ask you a question, man? That spit test, is that still considered a PCR test or is that an antigen test?
No, it's still, they call it the nucleic acid amplification test. They've rebranded as NAAT.
But if somebody could Google that and put that in the chat, that would be,
Yeah, so the state of Hawaii has testing partners and you can buy.
Andre, yeah. Can you go into a room with your headphones so we don't.
All right, whoever came on, if you can mute yourself for now, I'll get to everyone. But if you're coming on the call, if you can mute, that would be awesome. Thank you.
I've been asked to relocate. Why don't you bypass me for a moment? I'm going to go to another room and unplug my computer and take it with me, okay?
Okay, good enough. Good enough.
I'll be back.
Let me go to. Let's see who. How about Christine Robbins? Can you unmute Christine?
Hey.
Hey, Christine.
Well, hey, good to see you. So, I'm up here in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm part of the group called Citizens for Property Rights. And as you know from the last time I had a discussion with you, I was pretty much denied medical service because I couldn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where, I don't know, I'm still fighting it. I even contacted a human rights commissioner, or not the commissioner, but she was on the commission, a board member. And so anyway, she hasn't actually responded back to me. So it just kind of felt like she was gathering information. And she's fighting a huge battle in Anchorage anyway, because it's tyrannical down there. We actually have Republican governors up here in Fairbanks. Alaska. So it's just, we're not in as intense as what I'm saying as what they're fighting down there. But still denied service, denied medical service, told to basically that, the only one who would take me for not wearing a mask is the ER. And I'm like, well, I can't really afford, an $800 visit out of pocket.
Right.
Biotics. So, and actually I'm still been sick. And I, as I learned yesterday, do not engage in critical thinking when you're really sick.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, in these situations, I mean, maybe I'm distilling it down to the ridiculously simple so that I'll understand it. But, right now in these situations, I'm just going to start asking, are you aware that a mask is a medical device? And I don't care what they say. If they say no, I'll say, well, let me educate you.
Right.
It's a medical device. And are you aware that you're requiring me to put on a medical device is a medical intervention? Again, yeah. I don't care what they're going to say. Are you aware that to force a medical intervention that requires a physician's affidavit, and I don't care what they're going to say. Are you finally aware that for you to require me to wear force a medical intervention that requires a physician's affidavit that can supersede my right to consent, but it has to go to a judge who then has to issue a court order that I am a direct threat.
Yeah, and actually,
and if they, I'll just finish this with the punchline. And if they at that point in time, you know, say yes or no, I'll say, so what I require right now is for you to please provide to me the court order that shows that I am a direct threat. And if I am not, then I have every lawful right to shop freely. And if you deny me that, that is harassment. And by the way, you wearing a mask and harassing me has additional charges associated with it legally. I've role played that in my mind. I haven't done that yet, but that is what I'm going to do the next time anybody gives me shit. And I recommend other people do the same thing and report back and see what they think, because that is the legal fact. That is what I have learned from this Costco lawsuit. That is what I have learned through the many conversations that I have had with John Jay. When you get right down to it, this is about a medical intervention. Forget anything else. They need a frickin' court order declaring you a public threat, a direct threat. And that means you're a direct threat because there's been a physician affidavit that's signed by a judge, and period, end of story.
Absolutely. And actually, while I have you online, I was going to, and I don't think John Jay would mind, but I was hoping to extend the invitation that I have on a meeting on the 4th. 9 a.m. Alaska Standard Time. We're meeting with some specifically just conservative legislators and legal help. But since you're kind of involved in a case and know are so knowledgeable about everything that's going on anyway, I just wanted, if you'd like to, then I will email you the link so that you can.
Please do. I'd love to sit in on that and observe, and if have an opportunity, I'd love to be able to ask some questions.
Right. And so what we're looking at, even though we have a Republican governor, and, you know, I mean, I helped campaign for him. I still really care for him. You know, he was an awesome guy. But the truth is that if he doesn't stand up for freedom, I mean, how big a friend can he be? You know, he's not doing right. So he wanted the job. We got to hold him accountable.
Let me just tell everyone this. You are not installed. And yes, that's the right word, installed. As a governor, as a senator, as a president, as a head of anything, you are not installed without, being compromised, first of all. So what I believe, like Governor DeSantis, I have really appreciated how he has handled the state of Florida. But did I still send him a notice of liability? Yeah. Did I feel bad about it? No. Because I feel he's in the control group. I feel that he is, you know, he's the governor. There's probably a couple of them out there that when they have their master Druid Babylonian bastard meetings telling the governors what to do to be able to get their funds, they're saying, okay, Florida, North Dakota, South Dakota, whatever. You're in the control group. We're going to see how many people are shopping in Publix with masks, even though they don't have to, you know. And, oh, really? 99%? I asked the cashier yesterday. I went in there and I said, and I looked around and I said, am I the only smiling face you ever see during the day? And she says, maybe not the only, but yeah, pretty close.
2212.
I thought, oh, God.
Yeah, it's so incredibly sad. I was just thinking the other day as I was shopping in Fred Meyer, I thought, boy, you know, it's been months since anyone asked me if I needed help. And I'm wandering on the store trying to find everything. And it just, you know, masks right. have a way of dehumanizing people. And so they don't really see me anymore.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Almost like it's planned. Almost like it's planned. I think what I'm going to do, if I ever am forced to wear a mask, I'm going to get the John Laban mask that looks like a beard. He's wearing it right now. But it, you know, it actually is covered. He has these lips that move and stuff, but that's all cloth. And I just applaud your entrepreneurialism again, John. Nobody would know. Okay, well, hey, thanks, Christine. Thank you for joining the little kids roundtable at Christmas. Miguel, yes. How about you and your lovely wife? and your litter of kids. How are you guys? Merry Christmas.
Okay. Howdy. Can you hear us?
Howdy.
Okay, so yeah. We're good.
Can you get a little closer? You sound like you're in an echo chamber.
Might be my mic set up. Oh, it's still bad.
We can hear you. Closer the better.
Oh yeah, no, we're good. We don't really celebrate Christmas. We do a different approach to it, but all our friends and family are celebrating it. So,
nice.
So we're here with you guys.
Okay. No, look, that's great. That's great. That's what this is here for. I think that, you know, I shared in our Telegram, and if anyone watching this isn't part of my Telegram, which is t.me/Uncle Lod, please do. It's just become my favorite place to be able to share information. And frankly, it's kind of my favorite place just because of the people who are in there. It's like everybody is, it's not an echo chamber, I don't think. Everybody seems to be bringing different good content there, but there's just no dissension. You know, I mean, it's just not this typical bullshit where you get trolls that come in. And if there are, or if I smell any kind of trollishness or anybody who comes in, I love the ones to where some kind of hot profile picture comes in and says, "Hey, anybody up for some chat?"
Like, those are good. Those are good. Hey, everybody.
Oh, Ab the Fakeologist, welcome.
Thank you. You. I'm Merry fine. Christmas. I thank you. Merry Christmas. What a great turnout we've got here. All my favorite people in the whole wide world.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes, it's fantastic.
And even more great people in the chat.
Right. What chat are you talking about? The Telegram?
YouTube.
It's, oh, YouTube, yes.
On YouTube, so
we've got a Zoom chat, we got a Telegram chat, we've got the YouTube chat. I'll have to bring up the YouTube chat and see what's doing.
And I have to say, indeed, John mentioned it, but you know, Marcus, Ab, John LeBon, all on the same call. I mean, we are blessed with riches of people who have critically thought their way through every hoax on the planet, I think.
With all this brain power, we should be able to bring it down by tomorrow.
Probably weren't that easy.
Yeah. So what are you and your family, your extended family, not celebrating today, Ab?
Well, we had a pretty pathetic Zoom call yesterday. It was sad.
Oh, wow.
I was sitting at the little children's table, and there's a couple of normie comments that I just let fly over. I was thinking of introducing a little bit of Fakeology, a little bit of anti-vax, but I just kept quiet. They actually poked me. They asked, "Well, what do you think?" And I didn't really say anything. So, it was a virtual version of our normal get-togethers where can't really bring up anything important in life.
Yeah,
but so it was,
so it was kind of like a real Thanksgiving get together.
There was absolutely nothing. You wouldn't know COVID's was going on, other than the fact that my brother, his wife, and her father were masked up on the call. So I was a little upset about that, and
on the call.
They were masked up because they were, I guess, because she was worried about her father, who's 90, and. And I did tell him to pull it down so I could see him, see how he was. But I didn't say anything to my sister-in-law. But yeah, it's sad. It's sad, and how far down people fall into this kabuki theater, as you call it.
Wow. Ugh. Oh well.
So okay. What are you gonna say? Where do you start with those people? And my dad made a couple of comments that he was grateful that Trump was knocked out because he's so plugged into the matrix that he's glad. And I didn't say anything about that either because I have my ideas. And then he even said to my sister-in-law's father, he says, if I can, I'll pinch a bit of the vaccine for you if I get it first. So, you know, he's just, what can you do with someone like that? You can't do much.
They're the walking dead.
Yep.
As you said. I mean, they're the literal walking dead. And yeah. And that's why, I'm excited for a little bit later when John educates us on his next revelation. But
yeah, so these get-togethers are uncomfortable to say the least. So at least when we're here at the little children's table, we got all people that are on board. They're all sensible. We really kind of, my greatest fear of 2021, which is sort of yours, is how do we avoid this poison needle? How do we avoid that? It's going to be all vaccine all the time in 2021. And like I've said to you before, we are in the deepest, largest, most invasive, all-pervasive marketing campaigns for any product in the history of the world, let alone an invasive health intervention.
And you know what's funny? You know what's funny? I was thinking about this. I was listening to something on BitChute, and they were talking about, you know how they do this mashup of where the news, they all say the same thing over and over, and they have a new word for how this virus is evolving. I can't remember.
Mutating. Mutant strain.
Yeah, the mutant strain.
England got the Brexit strain. Did you notice that? That's what John and Adam were saying. They got the Brexit strain, which is just to push that deal a little faster. They said, by the way, all those trucks lined up at the border to bring you your fruit and vegetables, they can't cross the channel because you guys have a new strain. I don't know. Maybe if you sign Brexit, we can get rid of that strain real fast.
But I was thinking about the way that they're positioning this, and they're talking about, well, that's the thing. We're on the 17th iteration of CV-19. And that is why, when you think back, now I'm in role as one of these people talking, that is why when we look back, the flu vaccine, that's why we have to keep up with the evolution of the flu strain, and that's why we require a new flu vaccine every year. Well, the rapid rate of CV-19, we're at the 17th iteration right now. That is going to require even more robust changes to where it may be 3 to 4 vaccines a year
to be able
to keep up with this. And I'm thinking, razor blades. Remember that? That was like they would give away the razor so that you would buy the
razor blades. Yeah.
And that's where this is going. This is the market. Yeah. This is just like it is all, you know,
may as well just walk around with an IV in your arm all year round and just go to the gas station and hook your car up to the gas and hook yourself up to the latest strain of Drano they want to put in your body.
You may not be able to activate the gas machine unless you put your left shoulder up against the chip reader to see.
No, forget that. You have an IV in your arm. You just plug it in and get your latest dose.
and then your first gallon's free.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's stop hogging the call. There's too many great voices on here. We have to restrain ourselves. So I'm going to mute because you have enough people to talk for another half an hour. So
all right, we have John in here. Oh, nope, that's John LeBon.
Can we go back to England and get her take, Karen's take? I think she's from England, I heard earlier.
Yeah.
Get her take on the whole Brexit. I think she wanted to say something.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am indeed in England. The whole Brexit thing, do you know, I think with all of this going on in the news with COVID, not that I ever listened to the news anyway. I gave that a long, long time ago. Brexit has just taken a back seat. Yes, we still want it done, but nobody's even talking about it. It's just, it's yesterday's news. You know, there's a few of us still trying to discuss it, but, it's everybody's talking about COVID, masks, all the rest of it. Hardly anybody is even discussing Brexit. I haven't got a clue what's going on. I am part of a big community of business owners.
What do you do?
Myself, I'm a brand strategist and web developer. I work with, you know, lots and lots of business owners all over the world. And I have clients in the EU. And so I've now got to be aware of all these new rules and regulations for dealing with people in Europe. Wow. And I haven't got a clue. In fact, I think I'll just leave it to my accountant and he can teach me. You know, it's just become too complicated. And I don't know whether they've done that deliberately, but, you know, I'm part of a big community of business owners, most of whom believe everything that the BBC are telling them. Yeah, it's very frustrating for me because I feel like I'm the only dissenting voice, you know, in a sea of mask wearers. And you know, that's fine. I'm not going to have a go at them for it, but it is quite worrying because the amount of critical thinking that is going on here is probably the same in you know, in the States, in Australia. 99% of people are hanging on to the BBC's every word. And you know, when it comes to business, you know, I have so many friends that have lost their businesses because of all of this, and yet they're still not thinking, they're not questioning anything. They're just taking it right. Oh, well, you know, this virus, it's locked us down. It's killed our business. We're just going to accept it. No one's fighting.
Wow. Well, that's where, again, we're going to talk to John. I mean, are some people just not even capable of critical thought? Well, real quickly, thank you very much, Karen. Let me go to Jimmy Martin. Jimmy, if you could unmute and introduce yourself, and if you have a video, that'd be great. If not, no worries. Jimmy Martin. Let me do it.
Maybe he's just listening or something, but anyone else who wants to chime in too. Did we hear from Andre already? I think so.
Yeah, we heard.
It says he's back on in the Zoom chat. There's too many chats to try and keep a hold of. Maybe maybe throw it to Marcus if he wants to.
Sure. Well, Jimmy, when you get back and you want to unmute, just go ahead and interrupt us. So yeah, Marcus, you want to provide us with some words of wisdom? I know you're the optimist here, so God bless you.
Sure. I'm going to post into the chat a flurry of links. I'll see if it'll take.
Okay.
That's into the Zoom chat? Does everyone know how to get to the Zoom chat? Oh, look at them all.
Jeez. Okay.
And by the way, that vaccine world, the link you put, where do you click to take the poll? I must have missed the link.
It's worldvaccinepoll.com.
I know, but I'm on the site. Where do you click to get to the poll? Because all I see is the world.
You have to take the poll.
Where is it?
You got to scroll down.
Oh, maybe it's not showing up because I'm using the Brave browser. Maybe the Brave browser is blocking.
Yeah, you might have a content blocker on.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it.
I just clicked, Marcus, on what you put in the chat. Is this what you were?
Let me take a look. I got all kinds of screens. Yeah, so if you look at all those links, there's a way you can find polls by using keyword searches on Twitter. Okay. If you look at every single link, every one of them shows either a majority of people won't take the vaccine or a minority of people will not take the vaccine. Now, this gets into what John wants to talk about, which is what is it happening in the real reality world doesn't match with what is happening on these polls and et cetera. And well, that's certainly something you should talk about.
This goes against what you showed me earlier, which was yes right away, 65%.
Yeah, but if you take 15% plus 12% plus 8%, that's 35% of the people who are not taking it right away. Because we keep hearing everyone is going to – the mainstream media narrative is that everyone's going to rush to take this. But if you have 35% of the people, 40%, 50% of the people saying I'm not or I'm going to wait – that's very encouraging to me because a year ago that would not have been the case.
Yeah.
Look at Suzanne Nagel. Who are the 8%?
Well, first of all, Twitter is infested with the military and all the Defense Department. Yeah. All the all the military contractors are trying to shape opinions. So you have to be so careful. You're not looking at real people for the most part. You're looking at sock puppets.
But if anything, Tim, you're going to see – if that's the case, then you're going to see even higher real numbers. If they're flooding it,
yes,
that's my point.
I agree with you. And it's just like doing an exit poll. An exit poll is where you ask people who they voted for, and they never match the just people lie. Even they give you the answer they think you want. So you cannot get an accurate poll. That's why the secret ballot is so important to a so-called democracy. And there's a good chance, even if we don't believe Trump is on our side, that he probably did win the biggest landslide in the history of voting in America. But you would never know that based on the way they've spun the narrative. Now, he's saying it, but he's been thoroughly discredited. So you get the impression that nobody is listening to him, and perhaps that's how they want to spark a civil war. Because it's so obvious to anyone you ask around you that he won based on an informal poll. So they're doing the same thing with the vaccines. They're making it seem like everyone is going to get it, and you're an idiot if you don't get it. You're selfish. You're a super spreader, and you should have no rights and no access to society. So, yeah, the marketing campaign is so deep.
However, if you click on each one of those links, it's very encouraging to see a wide variety of Twitter accounts showing the same thing. It is not what you hear from the mainstream media. It is 30%, 40%, 50% will not take the vaccine or are going to wait and see, whatever. That would not have been the case pre-COVID. I guarantee you that.
And is that because there's some...
That's a good point.
There's some... what I think could be agitprop out there of people keeling 100%. Over and people – and who's putting that out and what is the purpose of that?
Well,
Who is authorizing that?
As I've spoken to you on past calls, Tim, just because this is happening, people aren't going to take it. I smell a rat. I think the reason why Trump did the warp speed thing, it's a trick. It's a trap. They want people not to take it. And then what's going to happen if people don't take it? That's the next question.
Okay. Well, our prime minister says we need to use the military to administer and control this vaccine because it's so precious that no civilians could possibly guard it and have it not be stolen because everyone wants it so bad. Great. That's hilarious. Okay, that's really good. How did you get all these Twitter links? You said you did a search for... COVID poll or just poll?
Yeah, what you do on Twitter is you can do an advanced search and you can do all kinds of operations and operators. And that's what I've been doing for like a decade now. And it was very easy for me to pull up all the polls. And again, there's not a single poll that I pulled up here that I did not include. These are every one that I found. I just pulled it. Some say 20% won't take it. Some say 90, in the case that Todd just had up, 90-something percent won't take it. And I do not think.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
So have you taken a deep dive, you or John or Ab, on this nurse that took the shot who fainted and then later is dead or not dead?
She's not. She's totally dead.
Oh, she is totally dead. No shit.
Totally dead. There's a Facebook group that there's 9,000 members of that are little mini investigators.
Yeah.
They actually found out who they brought out a woman who's not even closely looked like her in a photo op.
Yeah.
They actually have her name. It's not Tiffany Dover. It's another person who works at the hospital.
Man.
Yeah, but is it possible, Marcus, that neither of those people really had a vaccine, like the whole thing's a setup?
100%. Yeah. But – if you go to Tiffany Dover's social media accounts, hasn't been a post in like over a week.
Right.
There's a lot of posts that have been pulled by the family members saying that they're upset that there was a cremation and they didn't want that. That's been pulled. So again, that could be just like John said, that could be a total double psyop going on. Who knows?
Right.
But the old double bluff, that'd be right up their alley, mate. Like, why would they kill a nurse with their vaccine?
Right.
I'm trying to say, like, it's 100%. Possible. But
who faints at a hangnail?
Do you think it's that they're realizing that they're out over their skis, and so they want to be able to somehow be able to pull back the momentum of you got to get the vax, they want to plant some doubt or no?
They've been planting doubt since the beginning. That's what I've been saying, I smell a rat. They're trying to make it sound like it's dangerous to a certain targeted group of people like us. So there's two group of people. There are the sheep who are going to go get it, and they'll get their Georgia Guidestones, 90% reduction of population. Then there are people like us. And they purposely want us to fear this vaccine. And I don't know the reason. There's clearly an agenda going on here. And I don't know what the magic is going to be. What is going to be next?
Do you think it's a reverse cull? Do you think it's that?
No.
The more people like us who like, no. let me throw out my theory, which is regardless of what we're seeing right now in the media of this nurse or anybody else, I submit that you're going to see this first round, second round, maybe give it a year and a half, but it's going to be saline injections to where nobody died, nobody got hurt. And then it's going to lull people to vax sleep to where they're going to be like, didn't have any kind of impact because these guys play long ball. Mm-hmm. Then are they going to come back then in 18 months? And that's where they're going to put that little chip in, or that's where they're going to put, the infertility potion in, or that's where they're going to put the let's get rid of 90% of the NPCs. I don't know. I mean, is that?
Well, as I talked to Tim about yesterday, I think it was, they have PEG in the vaccine allegedly, which is spermicide. So the infertility aspect is already there.
Wait, they have, what is it? PEG?
Yeah.
PEG?
Yeah. And polyethylene.
Glycol.
Yeah.
Which is antifreeze.
It's not antifreeze because mono is antifreeze. This is poly.
This is good. This is more. Paulie needs more. Paulie want a cracker.
Bottom line, that's it's spermicide?
Yeah, it's spermicide.
Huh.
Look it up.
Okay. So when your doctor says, okay, want to give you the vaccine, I think what I'm hearing is so that you don't get put on this nasty list, you need to do an implied or
informed consent.
Informed consent to where you can ask questions like that. So do you know, is there spermicide in there? Is there whatever you call it, PEG in there?
Can you take a poll?
And if there is, I mean, it's like, look,
show up on my browser.
Do you guys still have me? I feel like.
Yeah.
You do?
We have you. We have you in our.
Just waiting for you to speak.
1621. Sorry, I totally lost my screen. Okay, I'm back. So,
by the way, that World Vaccine Polls, I brought it up on Chrome and I brought it up on the Brave browser, and I don't get anywhere to click, which is interesting. Now I'm going to try and do it on my phone. If anyone wants to try that.
Yeah, I've seen people. You can see the numbers keep going up. If you leave it after you take the poll, you can actually see it like make a bubble for each person who responds. It's pretty cool. And you can see the numbers going up. And I tested it late last night on different browsers to make sure it wasn't some.
Yeah, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it on my phone browser either. I get everything, but there's no poll. I get the Ask the Experts movie and Professor Pleads Senate button. No other buttons. Very strange.
John.
Yeah, throw it to John.
John, if you can unmute, I'm curious. What are your thoughts about 2021? What do you think is going
to? I've got heaps of thoughts, but the first thing I have to do is ask both Karen and Fakeologist. Going back 15 minutes,
yeah.
That footage of the trucks. The story is there's all these trucks who want to get back across the English Channel, back to continental Europe, for Christmas and to deliver their goods, whatever. And we're shown all this footage of these trucks backed up at this port or at this waiting bay for the tunnel, right? Did you guys look closely at that footage? Let's go to Karen first and then Fakeologist.
Yeah, I did not.
Did any of that seem a little bit suspicious to you, any of it?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask that, actually, because I've noticed that there's a lot of fake videos being circulated on places like Twitter of stuff that you think is sent to scare one group or the other. Because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously we are truthers. People are trying to scare the truthers. And then you've got the normies, you know, the media is doing its best to scare them. But I did look at that footage of the truckers and I thought, this is fake. Because I've since spoken to people who are in the industry or who are, like I said, I've got a lot of connections that are business owners. And they've all said, this is not true. You know, we've got this covered. So you don't know who to believe.
Well, you know, you can't believe the media more than ever. That's what you're saying. That's a fact.
Exactly.
I'm glad that Karen said that because I didn't know where she was on the media fakery spectrum. But are there people? Were there people stuck at the tunnel? Sure. I don't know. Like that's believable. But some of the footage they showed, it went back miles and miles, 8, 10, 12 rows of trucks. I'm like, really?
Well, yeah, really? 20 years ago, we had an issue whereby the trucks were backed up for several miles because they couldn't get any fuel. Now, that could be old footage from way back in 2000. I think a lot of old footage has been used in certain videos. I know the media use old footage. It's like all those coffins in Italy in a church. That was not a COVID incident, that was from many, many years ago when there was a big disaster. So you just have to use your discernment and just take everything with a little pinch of salt because I don't believe that all those trucks were backed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good answer.
But then excellent. I don't believe anything.
Well, you've come to the right place, I hope, Uncle Todd. Hopefully your Uncle Odd, rather, you're attracting the right people here, people who question what the TV says.
Yeah,
because that's half the problem. The TV spellbinds people, yeah?
Yeah.
Just captivates them. Even intelligent people, once their TV starts going, the questions stop. It's just in the eyes, in the brain, it's their belief.
Yeah, John, I'd shared in my Telegram a screenshot from my sister Kim. As a matter of fact, let me just pull it up because this is... I just want to read you. This is what we're dealing with out here, guys. So you have to understand, she has a daughter who is, she has a daughter who is about to have a baby. Okay. It's her second baby. And so my sister, who's a retired nurse, is going to go spend like the first 30 days with them, because they have a two-year-old as well. And so Kim is really excited to be able to go there. And so she went into COVID lockdown 30 days prior to her flight, kind of self-quarantining. And I got this email from her. So she sent a care package. So I said, thank you for your care package, Kimmy and Ken. Excellent. I'll start the diet next week. Merry Christmas. Love you. You did read that. Blah, blah, blah. FYI, Santa brought coal for my stocking early. Tested COVID positive. Planned to test early after quarantine, but before Jeannie's baby came per her doctor's request. I was floored. No idea where I could have picked it up. I was diligent with masking and distancing. Asymptomatic, thank God. Ken, negative. Now I'm quarantining 14 days away from Ken in the same house. Not an easy feat with a small house. So say a prayer that the baby doesn't come early. If it does, Ryan's parents will have to start over. I want to do what's needed for the greater good. Just shows how insidious this virus is. But I am grateful we made the what if plan.
Well,
what if it happened?
Is there anything free you can
bring on the vaccine, brother? being asymptomatic is scary as hell, can spread fast before you even know it. Love you. Be safe. Please try to mask, Todd. I've prayed that God place his hand on that problem.
Does she not know your condition?
She knows my condition, but
she still would rather you have a panic attack and die walking into traffic than become a so-called super spreader in her mind. Terrible.
People don't understand. People don't understand. Yeah. You know, when there's that's secondary. That is totally secondary to people's, you know, programming and the spell. Yeah, we have to remember everybody is under a spell because the TV casts it. So what do you think of my sister's commentary, John?
Is that – Well, the point that I make to people is if you've got this invisible demon that can possess people's bodies – and if it possesses your body, it can use you to possess other people. And the solution is to wash, to cleanse with the sacred water, to cover yourself in garments, right? If these are the solution to stop sinning, no more going to nightclubs, no more spending time with your friends. This to me is overt religiosity, right? That's what it is. It's quite clear. What? It's religiosity. It's in the bad sense. And you know that I know that you're a religious person. I'm not
no, I understand.
About faith. I'm talking about this idea of
this is a demon.
Yeah. There's a demon that we can't see, but the experts can.
Yeah.
The experts can see it. They've got special devices. And so in the case of your sister or the people putting pressure on different people's family, every person on this call has family members who believe this crap. Every single one of us has family members who believe this crap. It's a difficult situation, and I feel for you or for your sister or for anybody who they have this pressure on them to conform.
Yeah,
it's a difficult thing. I don't judge them. Like, I can't sit here and judge people for falling into conformity because the pressure is off the charts. I'm a young man compared to some of you. I've never seen anything like this. But I think even you guys have never seen anything like this.
No.
This is, in our time, unprecedented.
Think about it 1 year ago. 1 year ago, what were you doing on Christmas? What were we all doing on Christmas?
I was doing the same thing, mate. I was drinking with random people at a random pub.
but it was in a pub. But if you just think about what a difference a year makes, I mean, my God, you know, it's nuts.
Well, Bill Gates warned us. Bill Gates warned us. So did Anthony Slouchy. They all warned us years ago this was coming.
Since you bring up Anthony Fauci, did you see that he came out like in the last couple of days and said that the whole herd immunity thing, he originally said it would require 60 to 70%. And I'm using rough figures here. I'll find the official article, put it in the live stream chat.
I've heard 70 and 80. Like,
I started off with these figures because that's what people were ready to hear. And then I bumped up to 70 to 80%. And now I'm saying 90% because people are ready. He's openly admitting he's just making up as he goes along. He's openly admitting that. Like in the New York Times, he's like, yeah, I just changed the figures based on what people are ready for. It's like, so this is not real science.
Well, he knows that people, he knows that he's got the people by the short and curlies. He knows he can say anything. It's like a superstar status now. They can say anything. And they know that they're going to be believed. How do you spell herd immunity? Is it H-E-R-D, like the herd of a herd of cattle?
Oh, yes.
Or I thought it was I saw H-U-R-D, and I thought, is it named after somebody? Because it is a complete lie, the concept of herd immunity.
I do have to share with everyone. I decided, for those of you who don't know, I have a famous Instagram dog. His name is Zammy Pup. He's a giant therapy dog. So I decided I would make a Happy New Year's kind of card. I don't know what you guys think of it, but I'm just going to share it with you. There's Zammy.
I see the F word there. Let me zoom in on that.
Yeah, may your 2021 be way effing better.
All right. Boy, you must pay a fortune for his hair care.
Yeah, he's worth it. He's worth it. So, no, anyway, I don't think I'm going to post that in Zammy Pop. That's rated G, but
I just put another link in the Fakeologist Discord to see if we can drum up some more people. I thought there might be a few more European types over here today. We have one we're grateful for, Karen, but I figured we started early enough so we could catch people. So I have
did Jim Martin get around to Jim, are you interested in unmuting and joining us and letting us know where you reside?
Yeah, who are you?
So right. I've asked Jimmy to unmute, so
that's all right.
We're good. All right, John, would you kind of you got me all curious at the beginning of this. Are you cool with kind of giving us a little more information on your tee up?
Well, here's what happened a few years ago. There was this thing called the NPC meme, the non-player character meme. This idea that if you play a video game, even if you and your friend play together, there's these other characters in the game that are bots, right? So there was this meme a few years ago where someone said, hey, there's this psychological study, this official study that says that the majority of people, they're not having conscious thought during the day. Like at the average moment of the average day, they're not thinking anything. They're just doing regular tasks or watching TV. They're not thinking. And so they use this as like evidence for this idea that the average person isn't thinking. Because some of us, we're thinking all the time. We're thinking, what should I do? Or what does this person think about me? Or what I think about them? We're always thinking. We try and sleep. We can't sleep because we've got all these thoughts. And we assume everyone's doing that. And then there's this study that comes out and says, actually, we've tracked people's thoughts. The majority are thinking nothing most of the day. They're just doing repetitive tasks. So this person used this idea to spread this meme of the people are NPCs, most of them. So it's called the NPC meme. Mm-hmm. And that took over the internet for a period of time, took over Twitter for a period of time. And I looked into it further and I started to think, hold on, because I spent so much time thinking most people are like me. Even if we have different opinions, we're all pretty much the same. Then I started to think, are we really? Because like I genuinely struggle to sleep because I've just got all these thoughts in my head. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, memories, ideas of the future, all this shit. I just can't sleep, man.
Yeah,
like, that's just part of my life. That's why I'm wearing sunglasses right now. You don't want to see my eyes, right? I just thought everyone was like that. And then I started to question that. And so I started to question people in my life, and I started to question people I knew and just regular people. And I started to realize, no, most people are not thinking anything. And in the 3 years since then, especially this year, I've come to realize, in my opinion, I could be wrong, the vast majority of people, they're not thinking at all. Mm-hmm. But we think they're intelligent because they can set an alarm clock, wake up, brush your teeth, put on clothes, go to work, conform, do what the boss says, do paperwork, take phone calls, make money. We assume they're smart, but are they really? Because if you can tell them there's an invisible demon out to get them, so they have to stay home and watch Netflix and order Uber Eats, they can't go to work, can't travel, they can't see their friends, can't have Christmas, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, that's a whole year, more to come. If they don't see a problem here, maybe they're really not thinking, Todd. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Like, maybe we give them too much credit.
Do you think then that they just get their programming from the television? That's like a computer download? That's software?
Let me give you, philosophically, let me give you the soft NPC and the hard NPC theory. The soft one is that we can liken these people to NPCs. They're still real people. Yeah. They just act like NPCs. But there's a growing chorus of people in certain circles that I mix in who have more of a hard NPC theory, which is actually this realm that we live in, like maybe we don't live on a spinning ball where bacteria evolves into humans. Mm-hmm. Maybe this realm that we live in is more kind of like a video game and the majority of people here are bots. You can talk to them, ask them what are their kids' names. They tell you their kids' names. What do they do for a job? Like they've got answers. But dude, there was a game called Leisure Suit Larry 30 years ago where the bots had answers. Okay. Right. But they're only so deep, they can't actually think.
Right.
Now, you look around you and look at these people who truly believe that there's an invisible enemy, a demon who can talk possess them and possess you, possesses them, possesses you, possesses you. Your grandma going to kill your grandma. They can't see your problem. At what point do you start to question, is this creature actually thinking? Like, at what point? At what point? Because I'm way past that point, but I'm the crazy one here. I'm the guy who wears sunglasses at 3 o'clock in the morning, goes out, drinks with random people. Like, who am I? But you guys are more reasonable, rational than me. Tell me, like, do you believe these people are real people? Because I'm done with them.
I, I now subscribe to that opinion. I mean, and I can, you know, and you, as some people may or may not know, I mean, I have known you for a good while, and you've really been the tip of the spears that's impacted me. And then we went through our little bit of time where you broke my brain so hard on challenging the history, or the, what you call the history hoax, that I kind of forced myself to go separate ways, just because I'm like, I have to not think about this. This is driving me mad, because God, if I can't count on any kind of history, then I have no basis. And it just threw me totally upside down, inside out. And, but through COVID, you know, kind of brought us all back together. And, I started studying what you were promoting about the NPC, and, you know, it was kind of a ha-ha meme and such. But I swear to God, right now, I mean, 10 months into this, or however many months we are into this, looking around and still seeing the number of people that just have zero get it factor, there's no doubt in my mind now. The people are just incapable of critical thought. Now, I do not know whether it is because of environmental issues, that maybe I've been preserved for some reason. Maybe it's because over the last lots of years, I've never gotten a flu vaccine. I don't know. But there is something going on to where people, just do not auto hoax anything. They don't, zero. It's just all whatever the TV says, and they cannot for the life of them imagine that the TV could be lying to them.
And Uncle Lord, they're getting worse, right? So back in March, April, I was milking this coronavirus nonsense for all it's worth. I was like, guys, look, this is what I was talking about. They're bots. Look at them. Whatever the TV says they believe, this proves my theory, right? And I had people saying to me, no, but JLB, guess what? In a couple of months, if the TV keeps lying, the people are going to push back, right? If you shut down the businesses for 1 or 2 months, they'll deal with that. Yeah. But anymore, they're going to resist. And I was like, okay, let's see. Because my prediction is this becomes normalized and people get more used to it. In other words, they'll forget the past very quick. I said, let's find out. Well, here we are in December. They've just stolen Christmas. Okay? Yeah. They've just stolen Christmas. In Australia, they were told, just sacrifice Easter so we have the rest of the year. That's what they were told. Well, guess what? In Sydney, just had to sacrifice Christmas. So it's gotten worse. Yeah. And the people, and I heard Marcus on his most recent call with Ab from maybe yesterday, last couple of days, talking about this. Marcus himself in Pennsylvania was like, dude, they're getting worse. I'm like, yep, that's exactly what the NPC theory would predict. They're not going to, there's no end point where the normies are like, no, that you said 2 weeks and now it's been 12 months. There's no. They actually get dumber. They get dumber.
Right.
They become more accustomed to it.
Right. And you know,
there's no end to this. There's no like, oh no, couple more. No, there's nothing. That's it.
I want everybody on this call to think about the stats that are being put forward on the cases, the deaths. Think about it as if you are a normie who believes all of this stuff. Okay. So whatever the TV is saying is fact. Let's just go ahead and say that. Okay. It is being codified into the historical record now. We all know it's bullshit. Absolute 100% bullshit. Lies, lies, lies. Now, fast forward 50 years. And when researchers, truthers like us, go back to the historical record, what they are going to see as a historical record is what we know today to be lies. And it hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday when I heard something on BitChute where a woman was basically referencing something similar, that why in the hell, now I'm coming back to you, John, why in the hell would we ever believe the historical record? Because 50 years ago or 100 years ago, let's think about the Spanish flu. There are people then like us who are saying they're all lying to us out there. This is bullshit. This isn't happening, but it became the historical record. So what do you think about that?
If humans have this tool like we have right now to talk about these things, from all around the world, and I can say to you, hey, here in Malaysia, there's no one dropping dead. And you can, and Uncle Lloyd in Florida can say, there's no one dropping dead. And Karen in the UK can say, there's no one dropping dead. And Ab the Fakeologist in Toronto can say, there's no one dropping dead. And Marcus in if we can all agree there's no one dropping dead, we have this amazing technology, then everyone has this technology, but they're not using it. So if you can fool us with this technology, us as in the greater humanity, how easy would it have been back in the so-called Spanish flu? The newspaper could say, oh, everyone's dropping dead in London, in Paris, in Berlin, all right? But we're taking all the precautions so we're safe. In Berlin, they could say, oh, everyone's dropping dead in Melbourne. Like, you see what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Everybody could be fooled. There's no way to check what they're saying. So if we can be fooled today, and clearly we can, then everything from the historical record could be fake easily, more easy than today.
Yeah. it's so true. And if that doesn't make you stop and think, and so who writes history? They say the winners, right? So if it does look like, and I know it's all a script, whether it's Trump, Biden, everything, this is the death march of the people who are truly in charge, you know, I know we truly don't know who is behind the ones that we think are the tip of the spear, like the Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, United Nations, World Health Organization, Bill Gates, Research the Great Reset, Research the COVID-19 platform, all of these things that you can tell people to do to try to get them to wake up a little bit. But, you know, I think there are 13 families behind them. Bottom line is, you know, they are calling the shots on how the script is going to be presented. So that's where I'm not so optimistic. It just seems like, you know, since they play long ball and they've been planning this for, if not decades, or if not centuries, I'd say decades, you know, I think that we're going to be on that animal farm pretty soon, to where our little areas, my little slice of life, my neighborhood, you know, it's just a little bit bigger prison. and they'll let me out the front door if I have all the right, you know, documents. But
one of the things I wanted to ask you, Uncle Lloyd, and it came up in the Marcus Allen Fakeologist call yesterday or the day before, like, are you optimistic about next year? Because I've given up on predictions, okay? I predicted that Trump would win. I was wrong. I predicted that the Cats would win the grand final in the AFL. They lost.
Yeah.
There's this horse that I predicted would finish top three in the Melbourne Cup. It died on the track. They had to kill it on the track. So I'm done with predictions. I'm finished, mate.
Really, well, the Trump story's not over yet. That's definitely not over yet.
That's true.
No, it's over. No, it's over. Okay. So I was wrong about everything. So I'm giving up predictions.
I do have
to. I would love to hear what you guys think about next year, because –
yeah,
I don't know what to think anymore. I've given up. I'm just like on the way. I'm just riding the waves. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's coming.
I want to hear how you're getting to Bulgaria. That's more interesting than a prediction.
Well, Ab, I've got a confession to make, and you're not going to like this, okay? But before I make any confessions,
did you meet a Bulgarian woman?
If that was the case, that's not a confession. That's like a cool story. Now I've got a bad story to tell, Ab. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Before I tell you, can I ask you a question, hypothetical?
Sure.
All right. If you thought it was in your best interests to take a PCR test, if you weighed up the pros and the cons,
mm-hmm,
for and against.
A PCR non-test.
Well, the thing where they jam the thing up your nose, mate. You know,
that's a non-test.
Are you talking about the test where they go
the Klaus Schwab,
the
brain tickle,
all the way.
Okay, yeah, raping your brain barrier. Yeah, no, not gonna happen.
Well, that's if it doesn't make the turn.
Yeah. So, in theory, is there any way they could convince you to take one of? Because we all know this test is bullshit. Okay, there's no virus, it's all fake. But if you had to, for whatever reason, take the test, could you see yourself doing that, hypothetically?
Well, I don't like the consequences of taking it. My immediate answer is no, but if they threaten my job, that's the thing I'm worried about most.
Well, that's good. That's an honest answer. I like.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who are like, no, I'd never do it. I'd never take the test. I'm like, fair enough. But like, what if it was in your interest to do it, though? Like, is it And I'm trying to say a lot.
So when did you take the test?
Well, I've got a lot of considerations to weigh up here, Ab. I've got a lot of considerations. So I went to the airport yesterday.
Okay.
Had all my documents. I paid the money to take the flight. Had all my documents. I researched. I don't need to take the PCR test to go to Bulgaria, blah, blah, blah. I rock up to the airport. Okay. And the place is dead, by the way. Like, it's weird to be in an airport where there's almost no flights.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what the capacity is, 10%, 20%. I don't know what it is. But it's just a weird feeling in the air, man.
It's eerie.
Through the door to get in. It's eerie. Yeah. You go through the door and there's this like science fiction, like a 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger style science fiction thing. You walk through and it's like temperature 36.2. And you're like, what's going on here,
That's
man?
That's a pretty good temperature you got.
Yeah, I'm a pretty healthy guy. What can I say? So you walk through and you get to the airlines that you're flying with, the little hub thing.
Yeah.
You get there early because you just know that there's going to be a problem. Even though you've dotted all your I's, crossed all your T's, you just know this is the world we live in. So you get to the front of the queue. The first thing they say is, have you got your PCR test? And you're like, nah, don't need it. Where I'm going, we don't need it. They're like, yes, you do.
Oh, boy.
Cut a long story short, okay? A couple of hours later, you're still arguing back and forth. They're like, listen, we'll let you fly to London. No PCR, we'll let you fly right now. But if you want to fly to Bulgaria, we want the piece of paper, right? What do you do, Ab? What do you do? You tell me. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
So you took it?
It's a tough one.
Well, I'll tell you what to do, John. I'll tell you what to do.
Marcus, you've been too quiet, man. I've tried to get you in the call a couple times. Hasn't worked.
No, I'm just being respectful, dude. You bribe them. I'm not kidding.
You bribe them. I like that.
A la Mexico.
You literally shoot $100. Trust me, they'll let you on the plane. Trust me.
Andre wants to pipe in. Andre.
Andre wants to pipe in. I'm Marcus' biggest fan in the whole wide world. You know, I trust you in many things, but when it comes to getting on a plane, an international flight,
mm-hmm.
I would trust you if you'd done it. And this is the issue. Someone comes to me and they say, oh, I've done it. Hey, I trust you, man.
Yeah.
But if we're being honest, Marcus, you haven't done it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Did you get out your wallet? Respect.
Let me.
Now, dude, listen. Oh, dude, I could tell you some stories. I'll shut up and let Marcus speak.
But hey, let me just say this.
You should have seen what I saw going on there, man. While I was going through my paperwork, the stuff I saw going on in the queue, this PCR test, man, is a sham, okay?
You think?
It's bullshit.
We know
it's
it
all
is.
No, I don't just mean the test. I mean the paperwork.
Okay.
It got to the stage where I saw people rocking up with digital copies that weren't even PCR tests. I even overheard one conversation. No, that's the confirmation of the test, not of the result.
Oh, interesting.
And then you get the people doing the whole, oh, can't speak English. Oh, yes, this test. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And I was like, let me get this straight. Had I pretended I had the test, you'd let me on. Because I was honest and said I didn't have it, I was like, I see. I see what's going on here. You know what I mean?
Honesty is...
I should have learned this lesson 10 years ago.
Honesty is a...
Rules,
yeah.
You lose. You know what I'm trying to say?
Honesty is overhyped. It's overblown.
Oh, the whole thing's a sham, mate.
Let me tell you my experience, not on a plane, but everywhere else where I don't wear a mask. So every Tuesday and Thursday, I get a cheeseburger for my youngest son at Five Guys. And I go in there and I always leave a tip. Sometimes it's $1, sometimes it's $5. Trust me, I don't have to wear a mask at Five Guys where everyone else does. Trust me on that.
Okay.
Because of $1.
Mm. How about a nice smile?
No, that doesn't help.
So John LeBon.
Wait, Andre wants to say something. Andre in the chat said he wants to take a stab at the discussion.
Sure. You bet. Huh?
I'm trying to monitor the 82 discussions going on right now.
Thank you, Ab. Thank you.
Are there really 82 discussions going on?
Okay, there's three or four.
My stab is just, I wanted to chime in, but I introduced myself at the very beginning and I had to step out. First of all, you know, Uncle Odd, your real name is Todd, right?
It is, yes.
Your Christian appellation. So, Todd, I feel exactly the way you do when you're referring to all of these people, all of us on this call. We are instructing what's going on, and we're seeing clearly that the story is being told a certain way, and we are experiencing it real time in the truth form. And you then question exactly, you look back in time, you're like, oh my gosh, were there people back then who experienced and saw the truth, and we're not hearing their stories anymore, and we're just hearing the story of the victors, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's with 9/11.
Yeah,
or,
totally agree.
And it's just fascinating to realize, oh my gosh, can I trust really anything from history if I really don't take a deep dive myself and start to look at it? And on that note, I just want to let you know, I've been, you know, the Germany, the Hitler, the fascism, the this horrible human being who had nothing in his mind but just world domination. I am forced now to revisit that whole story. And
oh, yes.
There are other perspectives out there on mm-hmm. what really that movement was about and yep. what he was trying to stop from happening, what's happening right now. And it's
hey Andre, can I interrupt?
I agree 100%.
Let me interrupt you just 1 second there since you hit on it. And I've been thinking about this. You've heard the, and I don't even know if you can say this, but you have heard about the HITLER that if you were back in the day to where you could have offed him somehow when he was born.
Yeah. Would you have done that?
Would you have? And so my question right now to people is, if you could have been there and talked Klaus Schwab's mom into an abortion.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have done that? You know, and it's kind of the same thing.
Well, his
thing.
Mother's probably Eva Braun.
Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Andre. Go ahead and proceed.
I wanted to just chime in there because there was a large anti-vaccination movement among physicians back when vaccination started because most of them thought it was just voodoo. There was many people that were violently against the Copernican model of the universe and the ball spinning earth. Mm-hmm. Their stories are barely recorded. They are completely tiny footnotes in history now because they don't write the history books. Yep. So you would think that they didn't – you would think that there was almost no one on their side if you read history. Just like our little movement, you would think there's almost no one that thinks like us because we're all told we're selfish, we're super spreaders, we are marginalized in the extreme. And maybe people aren't even coming on this call because they're afraid to be associated with us.
Could be.
For that very reason.
It's a great point. That's a great point. So, let's see. Is Marcus still on?
Yeah, we got everybody. Andre.
There I am.
Marcus, there you are. Andre. We got Marcus, 368 people.
Marcus, what do you think about history?
Well, I mean, I've been saying since 1984 and publicly in 2008 that history is a hoax. I literally ignore it all. And they have to prove to me that it's true. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to family.
Okay.
Because of Christmas.
Good.
You are upset with your sister, right?
I'm not going to say upset. I am upset with my inability to be able to wake her up. And in subsequent texts, I sent her four links that if she actually, and she committed she would, if she actually watched those, she should be woke. Absolutely 100% should be woke.
Let me backtrack the question.
Okay.
Do you enjoy talking to your sister these days more than not? Are the pros outweighing the cons?
I don't enjoy talking to any of my family members.
So the question is, why are you talking to them?
Well, first of all, it was I was responding. She sent us a Christmas gift that was very nice, and so I was responding by text, and then that's when she laid that she got some coal in her stocking. She tested positive for COVID. And that's where it triggered me to where I'm like, screw it. I'm going to do some truth bombs here.
Right. But you know deep down that that's not going to work, right?
I mean,
you want it to work, but it's not going to work.
Yes.
And I don't know if you – I don't think you've heard me in the past. John would know this. Tim knows this. I've literally ditched my side of the family about 9 years ago. I think we figured that out. And my wife's side of the family, not a single person on either side of the family talks to me today.
Okay.
I have literally said, I don't want to talk to you guys ever again. Hmm. And I can tell you that the reason I do a Christmas call every year, and that's one of the reasons I'm joining here, and I might do one again tonight since I don't know if I'm how long this is going to go. If it goes longer, I'll keep staying. It's great. We have people on this call who care way more about me than my family do. Why the fuck am I going to waste my time with them? Because they birthed me? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it sounds like a psychopath.
No.
But a lot of people have these issues, and I'm telling you, and it's hard. I understand it's going to be hard to make that separation. But I have people on this call right now who respect me 1,000% more than my family members do.
Oh, no doubt, Marcus. And Ab really woke me up on one of the calls that we had, maybe it could have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. And for those of you who are listening in, if go to fakeologist.com/radio and then go down and whether you have an Android or an iPhone, but you can subscribe to his podcasts. And if you do, he and Ab and I and Ab and a lot of other people have conversations on a line that is recorded. And so Ab, he posts those in his podcast feed. And there's just some really great conversations that happen. And it's kind of like all of us. I mean, if we recorded every conversation like the NSA does, we could play it back for our friends. But Ab told me, he gave me kind of this truth bomb to where we're going to have to start making different families. And that is really the pebble in my shoe that got me thinking about this call is, yeah, I believe that. I believe that we all are kind of an extended family right now. And I mean, I'm not even bullshitting you when I say I hypothetically in my mind think that if we, whether you call it an exclave or just a little, I think Owen Benjamin calls it Bear Terrier or something like that. But basically, it would almost be a fantasy. I would love it if there was just a section of Florida, let's say, or Pennsylvania, or Australia, wherever people live, to where it was like, you leave us alone, we'll leave you alone, we're all going to gather together, we're going to figure this shit out, we just don't want the nonsense anymore. We want to be pilgrims in our own land. And, you know, we're pretty smart. I think we're going to crack this code together. God, I would look forward to that. But that is a different kind of family. Yeah. You know, it's.
Hey,
it's,
by the way, Odd, let Sky Larkin in if she wants to come in. She's a sweet woman.
I love Sky Larkin. Okay, let me. I'm sorry. Thank
let
you.
Her into our enclave of no mask, no vax.
Sky Larkin, welcome. If you can take yourself off chat or
she's still connecting to audio. There she is. Or she's connected. Connected. Yay.
There she is. Hey, Sky Larkin.
Oh, hi. I was just listening, really. That's all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I had nothing of value to say, really.
Oh, you always have lots of value to say. I'm an audio voyeur listening to you and Ab talk often. So thank you for your contributions. So if you want to insert and chat up, just there's a lot of people on this call who tend to talk a lot. And please, speaking for myself only, you are always welcome to just interrupt, and we'll defer to you.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Excellent.
I'd like to know what it's like to be married to Ozzy Osbourne. Can you ask her?
That I'm from where he's from, well, close by, but never met him personally. I know people who know his, you know, some of his family and that, you know, in the West Midlands, but yeah, luckily I'm not married to Ozzy. So.
Oh, I thought you were Sharon. I'm sorry.
No, you're just down the road from me.
Oh, where are you then?
I'm in Warwickshire. So,
oh,
not
right.
Far from you.
Oh, isn't it mad what's happening in this country? What the fuck, man?
Yes, exactly. So bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if anyone is close enough, they should definitely meet for a coffee or something in person and get that energy that you can't get through this call. You guys should definitely connect.
We're not allowed. We have this tier system now in the UK. So it's basically, it's lockdown rebranded. So if you're in tier one, you're fine. You can do what you want. If you're in tier four, you can't do anything. Now, they put London into tier four, didn't they? And my theory is because there's more Druid Babylonian bastards in London than anywhere else in the UK, apart from maybe Scotland. I'm not entirely sure. But we're all told not to cross borders and don't go into other tiers. Now, I'm in tier three. I think you might be the same, Skylarkin. I had to travel to a tier two area yesterday to see my brother get married. And there are all these signs on the motorway where I'm driving along saying there, do not cross borders. There is lots of congestion. Do not travel. I thought, sod this. I'm just going to go and see what happens. And I went into Northamptonshire, which is a tier two area. No issues whatsoever. I just did it.
Can I ask, is there scientific basis out there that I missed to where the boogie virus respects tiers? Because I didn't know that they hit the brakes at tier one and they won't go into tier one. That's interesting.
This is what has confused us all. And I'm starting to think that it's deliberately... there's more confusion put out there by our government to deliberately wake us up. That's what I think.
I don't think so.
We want you to wake up because I can't understand why nobody's questioning this now.
Do you think there's somebody up there? Like, let's say the Druid Babylonian bastards are having a board meeting and Prometheus is down there. And a year ago he said, hey, I guarantee you that within 2 weeks, I'm going to be able to get everyone to wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart, $100. Yeah. And then do you think that those, you know, second bets and third bets just kept, they just kept pushing them because they couldn't even believe themselves that these dumb beings down there were that, I don't know, somebody just kept losing the bet and saying, double or nothing, Prometheus, double or nothing. Because right now we're at a point to where it's just like dumb and dumber.
Yeah, there's definitely somebody up there having a really good laugh at our expense.
This is a conditioning for the future. So because they're using the virus as a pretext to redesign society, there obviously is a reason why they are going to use this tier system to micromanage movement of people between areas. So there has to be a greater economic, centralized communistic control grid that they're laying on top that will explain why they're conditioning this way. Because everything is in the name of COVID. Everything. Every change in society, every superstructure they're creating is in the name of COVID, which is just a new god. But there is a practical, economic, communistic control grid being implemented, and you're being conditioned to it right now. We don't have we have colors here because apparently we respond better to colors, and our entire province of Ontario is going to code gray. I'm not sure why gray is worse than red, and that'll be for 2 weeks. So that. Either they're just systematically trying to completely destroy the economy as we know it and only leave the big boys standing. And that way, when they reintroduce all their freedom of movement controls with the QR codes, then they're going to allow the rebuilding of some kind of business in the different zones in the exact rule that they would like it to be reconstructed. But I still think we're in the deconstruction part of the economic reset. We're in the deconstruction. But I think these tiers are some kind of conditioning for future for the future society has nothing to do with the virus, because I hope we're all pretty clear on the way I believe, at least, a virus, or what they call a virus, I call a microzyma, works. It's a response that your body creates for itself that is not contagious. Mm-hmm. But it does exist in you when your terrain is damaged because of the four principal ways we get ill, which is injury, toxic, poisoning, stress, and malnutrition. That's it. That's the only reason our body responds with this viral force that comes in and takes away all the poisoned or dead cells to the best of its ability. And that's when we express fever, we express all the ways our body rids itself of illness, I guess, or toxic, or dead cells, for instance. So as long as we understand that concept, I don't think anything they say about a virus is worth listening to, because it's the inverse of the way it works.
That has been one of the gifts COVID has given me. Is a year ago, I would have never been interested in germ versus terrain theory. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, you know, this year has forced us all into doing those kind of deep dives, all of a sudden now you're like, wow, this terrain theory, that rings true to me. A lot more true than the germ theory. And then you start realizing Pasteur was a fraud, a snake oil salesman.
Well, he was a plant by the industry to create a new business. And we are in a huge business creation period right now. They're creating like the Kleenex replaced the hanky, the washable hanky, toilet paper replaced a washable cloth. All these consumables, now this toxin we're going to pour into our veins is turning into a consumable. And they don't even want a doctor to administer it, from what I've read. Your pharmacist or the pharmacist assistant, it'll be down to the cashier, will be able to poke it in you.
Well, there'll be a little machine that you'll just put your shoulder up.
Oh, exactly. It'll be a self-serve kiosk. You're right.
Hey, John, Laban, I do have to tell you the reason why I would say no to the PCR test where they shove it up your nose is maybe I'm just a conspiracy theorist, but I actually believe that there could be something to the fact that they could put something on the end of that device that could be micro, that they could put back in you, whether it would be maybe even giving you the virus or whatever the boogie thing is. I don't know, whatever might mess your terrain up at your brain barrier, or whether it's, I've seen these, you know, videos to where they talk about there's some nano stuff that, you know, you can't see, but they'd put it back there. So that just plants this, there's a boogeyman under your bed thing in my mind, to where it's like, I think I'll pass. I don't think it's as benign as they say. Now, that all may be bullshit, and very well probably is bullshit, but I don't think it's going to forever be bullshit. Does that make any sense?
I totally get where you're coming from. And I had the same thoughts myself. What is actually at the end of this thing? And why are they putting it so far back in your head? Because it's clearly not for a virus. Like, that part we know.
Yeah.
So why are they doing this? Yeah. Is it just a thing to see who will comply, to have something pushing the back of their head? Like, what's the purpose? Is there something on the end of the tip?
That's
what we don't know. I thought the same things as you.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's a compliance test. I think it's just to see how far they can push this. I mean, especially with leaving things till last minute or making decisions, you know, 360 change of decision. I do think it must be to test people, just to see how far that they'll go, you know, or if they'll change their minds about. I really do think there's more to this in a more, I suppose, in a spiritual way, you know, because it feels like a war, but I'm trying to be positive about it and think that, you know, that good is going to come out of it. I keep trying. I mean, I might be fooling myself, but I do think deliberately they're putting things out there to some extent for people to make a decision, because you have to be on one side or the other, don't you? I mean, that's how I see it, but it might be me trying to fool myself.
But that's where I get really kind of soured on all of it, because my test is when I go to the grocery store and legitimately can tell you I'm the only frickin' person in the grocery store ever. I think I've seen maybe two or three people in the last, you know, few months who haven't had a mask. And I've, you know, like a stalker, I track them down. And I'm just like, man, it is so nice to see another smiling face. Thank you for not wearing a mask. And so I think that the DBBs if that was the measure, which is the compliance test, let's see how far people will go. I mean, my God, they've won. It's kind of like somebody who, you know, is playing a really good football team's playing a shitty football team, and by halftime they're up 60 points. You know, it's kind of like, okay, do we really need to try to, you know, make it 100-0? I mean, we know these people suck. We know these people are compliant. They're going to do anything we tell them to. All we have to do is create a new commercial on TV and tell them that this boogie virus now comes up from your toilet. It is now being disseminated through the sewage system and through the water supply. So if you now, there is such great risk of, if you go to the bathroom and any of that water splashes up, it now can come through your rectum and kill you, and or at least make you an asymptomatic silent assassin, to where if you pass gas, that's also going to potentially kill your grandmother. I mean, this is the yeah. I'm just kind of talking crazy, but it's not really that crazy.
Yeah, people would believe that. They would. I know what you mean. I'm just trying to see some light, and it's hard. And every day I change my mind, you know. It's a light day, then it's dark, then it's light again. And it's difficult. It's a horrible time, you know, but also at the same time, it's quite exciting as well, you know.
Yeah. By the way, I just do want to say mushroom management. I've seen you in the chat.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
Oh, that's you? Oh, okay. I saw somebody questioning my brick background. I was going to say, no, I'm not a Mason. Sorry to disappoint. You know, I needed something for Zoom calls for my business. And, you know, if you could see it, it's two panels that I got from.
Yeah, I was just joking. Sorry, just a joke.
Yeah, she knows you. Come on, she knows you. Hey, let's get the rest of the John LeBond story for Bulgaria.
Yes.
Yeah, so where I was going with my questions was, what if you found yourself in a situation where you're stuck in a foreign country, you've been there for 9 months, it's a great country, you love the country, fantastic, but you're over it, you want to get out,
yeah,
and you're given a choice. You either produce a COVID negative test, or you're stuck in this country, maybe for another year, right? And you decide, you know what? I want to get out. Now you've got two choices. You either fake the test, which you suspect some people are doing, okay?
Yeah.
Or you take the test and produce the legitimate test. Either way, that's how you get out.
Is there a specific time restraint on it? Like now that you've been to, do you have the ability to go back and figure out how to fake the test or no? Or does it have to be made right there?
What happened was the airline basically said, because what had happened was I went there saying I don't need the COVID test because their website said that. But okay. In the fine print, it actually said, no, you do need it. It was very, in my opinion, it was a little bit misleading. Okay. And they agreed with that. So like, you know what? No dramatic change of flight fee. Give us $15. We'll change it right now for 3 days from now. Give you time to go and get a test. Come back in 3 days with the test. We'll put you on the plane. You're sweet, right? Or we can put you in the plane right now. You change over at Doha and then go to England. No PCR needed. We can't let you to Bulgaria without a test. So I said, okay, let's change the flights. Give me 3 days. So I've got 3 days from yesterday to either fake the test or take the test. Mm-hmm. So that's why I wanted the great minds of fakeologist.com, Uncle Lod, Marcus Allen of exclave.com, and everybody else. What would you do in this situation?
Have you researched faking it? Is that possible?
Listen, I've done all kinds of research, man, but some of it I might not talk about publicly, and I'm trying to.
Was it on the dark web?
Taking that test, I mean, you have no idea what it's doing, what it's giving, what it's possibly tagging you with. So you may think it's just, harmless. We know it's bullshit. And then you take it and, you know, say you want to be clandestine, you know, whatever. Well, now you're not anymore. You are in there. COVID screening, whatever, you know, how they all don't miss that call. Now you're in their system and they can keep track of you hypothetically forever. And so now you're in the contact tracing world of tagging, possibly.
Well, you know, Miguel, I thought about that. Like, what if, because they take it supposedly, so what I've read is they take your passport details, all your details. So if DNA is a real thing, because I'm very skeptical, if it is,
right,
they've got all your DNA, like they know exactly who you are and you know what I'm trying to say. So like you're in the system. I thought about all of what you're saying. Yeah. But then I thought, what if that's all fake? Like what if that's us seeing monsters where none exist? You know what I'm trying to say? So the regular people can go about their lives and those of us who think too much, like we're sort of jumping at shadows. You know what I'm trying to say? Like we're our own worst enemies, putting these dark thoughts into each other's heads when really it's like a cotton bud in your ear just going to your nose. Not pleasant, but not at all harmful. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like,
right, yes, I see what you're trying to say. But also I gauge all of my beliefs and thinking through the Bible. And in the Bible it says, because they believe not the love of the truth, God sends them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. And, you know, and that's why also I think we look at people and like, come on, I can see you're intelligent, and yet you can't see past what they say. Why not? Well, because they don't want to know the truth, so God will let them believe the lie. Also, it also says that he's going to give discernment to those who have eyes to
see. Oh, that's low.
Well, and we look around and we're like, well, so few of us have the eyes to see. Well, so few of us are actually asking.
No, 4.2.
Seeking knowledge. Where most people want to
watch
television,
the hell,
and tell their lives are dictated by it. Not many people actually search for truth, and we search for truth find it, and we're all in the same consensus of that's the truth.
The and, hell, how'd you know, get to 3.5?
God gives us that discernment, and we are here. We have the discernment. We have the truth of it. Like we can see they're lying to us, and you know. And then I personally believe that while you're thinking, well, maybe that's just overthinking things, I personally think that might also be the demon saying, hey, you're not overthinking. You're overthinking it. Just take the test and everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm. I think those are great points, Miguel. And I know it's people could listen to you and auto dismiss just because of the insertion of the word God. And so there may be people who don't believe in God or whatever, but I want to share something with everyone that matter of fact, let me get a quick photo. Ab or John, if you guys want to chat, you can. I just want to show you guys something here. And
John, would you be willing to stuff yourself in a suitcase and check yourself in?
I'm open to all kinds of solutions. And
that
so
would be one thing. Actually, there are people on who do YouTube videos who do that. That's one option. Again, I would go to where the ticket counter people smoke. It's always in the back somewhere. And I would go back there and I'd be like, hey, listen, I'm not getting a fucking PCR test. I'd be thrilled to give you guys $25 gift card to Starbucks, $50 cash. What will it take for me to get on this plane? And I'm telling you, someone will take the money. I ain't telling you.
Marcus, your fundamental thing you're saying, I agree with this idea of money talks. I agree with. It's a little bit of a different issue when you're dealing with an Arab-based airline where maybe these people don't necessarily roll the way that we roll.
Well, then
I agree with what you're saying about people taking money and this kind of thing. And you say you can guarantee they take it.
Guarantee it.
Marcus, I have the utmost respect for you. You're a great guy. There's a difference between bribing people to not care about your mask and bribing people to let you on a plane where, in theory, if you get to the destination and you can't get through, they're liable to pay for the flight back. They're different magnitudes, you know what I'm trying to say? So if I speak to a guy and he's like, listen, bro, on the low down, I faked my way from this city to that city on the planes, then I listen. People who haven't done it, it's like, okay, it's...
Yeah, what does your research say? Because I'm sure that you've researched.
My research says people do it. My research says people fake it. It can be faked.
Then fake it.
And when I was standing there, going through my paperwork, watching what was, because I was the first one there at the queue. Yeah. I got there early. So like blah blah blah. We went through the rigmarole, whatever. So I ran to the back of the queue, and I'm watching what's happening. And some people have the paperwork, and it's all above board. But some people, it's very clear to me.
Yeah,
this is all a charade, okay? It's all a charade. Mm-hmm. The people working at the desk just want you to show that you'll either take the test or fake the test convincingly. So when you get to the destination, you've either got the test or you can fake it to them. It's like a test to see, will you play the game? They don't care if you've taken the test or not. They just care, will you play the game? And I rocked up saying, I don't have to play the game. Your rules say I don't have to play it. You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So I didn't play the game. They're like, well... No, you do have to play the game because we put you on this plane and you go to Bulgaria. They want you to play the game too. So if you won't play with us, you won't play with them, we can't let you go.
John, what's the worst case scenario if you get caught with a fake pass?
I thought about that. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
That I would find out. I bet you it's nothing.
Dude, can you there's news stories. There's news stories of guys faking tests in Paris and they face up to... X thousand dollars in X years in prison. And I'm like, that's a fake story. Come on. That's bullshit.
Right.
That's a bullshit story.
Totally.
Do they offer you the option of quarantine?
No. So supposedly in Bulgaria, that's not an option. If you're coming from hotspot countries, which supposedly Malaysia is. Okay. So for some countries, you can go PCR or quarantine. But I come from a country where it's PCR or nothing. Right. So some countries you can't do that.
You have to do the nasopharyngeal swab, or will they allow you to do other tests?
That's their story. No, because there's two major stories, Andre. Because at the start of the call, I asked you about the test that you were talking about, the saliva one you were talking about. I'm like, is that a PCR or is that an antigen? Because the story is it has to be a PCR.
Right? It is a PCR. It is a PCR. The one my son just did 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Is a PCR test. It's the nucleic acid amplification test. The state of Hawaii only allows those. They don't allow antibody tests. So they only allow those, and they've listed all of the providers. And for $130, we bought it right from the local Costco, which is Uncle Odd's favorite place. But we bought it from the local Costco. And the sample went off to a lab on the East Coast, and a day later you're negative. Just came back, by the way, last night. And again, it was good because they didn't have to touch anything, any part of their body. But precisely, once you enter that matrix, if they had been a positive, and I told them, like, you're now jeopardizing me because if you're a positive, what's going to happen with all that stupid contact tracing, right? Are they going to follow through and now tell me I got a quarantine? And, you know, I'm not doing that, of course. Anyway, yeah, it's a rabbit hole. But I understand you really wanting to get out of there and at least do some research on that one. The lab is P23 Labs in Georgia. You can look up them up and see if Malaysia will work with them or not, or if there's something similar. How about that?
Well, that's why what you brought up at the start of the call, Andrew, was so interesting, because I'm like, I think a lot of people are against the PCR test because of the whole injections in the nose. What if it was just a saliva test? Because that removes
Even if it's just a saliva test, we still know that it's a sham anyway. It is scientifically meaningless. So you're still taking the risk of what cycle did they run it at. If they run it at high, you're going to be positive. And then now what does that mean for you now for the next 2 weeks of your life?
But in that case, I could see playing the game to where you're spitting something, you don't have anything stuck in you. And it's that violation of your own body that Look, if ultimately you have to spit in something, that it's just different. That to me, that would be different. That would be just like, okay.
Yeah, and Uncle Odd, I completely agree. So when I was at the airport, if they said to me, look, we can give you a test right now, 30-minute results, you're sweet, we have to stick this thing in your nose, I'd have been like, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. If they said, no, just spit into this thing, I'd be like, all right then, let's do it. Let's see what happens. What's the worst that can happen?
Right.
It's the sticking something into your nose that I think myself and some people on the call, Miguel as well, that's what we have an issue with. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why do you want to do that? Because I know you're not doing that to find the virus because it doesn't exist. So why do you want to do that, right? You want to take my saliva? Okay, fine, take it. No big deal.
Hey,
right,
I want to do a little infomercial here, and this is way out there, and I'm only presenting this to you not because I want to talk about, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or alcohol or, you know, 10 steps or anything. I'm just telling you, those of you who are on the call, I mean, I gave up alcohol a little over a year ago and then had a short slip in April. And then, you know, that scared the shit out of me that, yeah, I need to take this seriously. But I have a daughter who's going through similar struggles and so much younger than when it ever got me, and very highly concerning. And so I stumbled across a 10 series, podcast series of these two older gentlemen who were doing a weekend retreat, and they were going through what's called the Big Book. And I just want to show it to you because you could search it yourself, but it's Alcoholics Anonymous with Joe and Charlie, Big Book Comes Alive. The reason why I'm bringing this up is if I would have listened to that series 20 years ago, I guarantee you I would have understood alcoholism a lot more than I do now. But what these geniuses who presented this, it's just two old dudes talking back and forth, going through this Big Book, which is kind of the guide on how you beat this thing, if you got it. And there's about, you know, 1 out of 10 people have this affliction to where when it's kind of like one drink isn't enough. I mean, one drink is too many, 10 isn't enough. And it's really where you can take that first drink if you haven't drunk forever, and it triggers this allergy, if you will, in your body that just basically is that trigger is like a compulsion. It's like you just have to. You can't just stop at one and blah, blah, blah. The reason why I bring this up is I have been taking hour and a half walks every day, and I'm listening to one of these every day, you know, one of the hours, and I think I'm through the sixth hour. And what it has accomplished for me is it has helped me understand COVID and everything that's going on to us today. And I would challenge any of you out there to find that series and listen to it, or at least listen to the first couple, and insert in there, instead of it being an alcoholic, think of it being a truther. It's our minds think differently. Like, I could easily say that 1 out of 10 people have the capacity to critically think. It's like alcoholics. Let me tell you, they are some of the smartest people on the planet. You know, they think a lot. They're and as I was listening to this and walking, I was like, man, I am almost tempted to go back and listen to each one of those and rewrite that series, except somehow put a truther filter on it or something. And I don't know, I just feel compelled to say that out loud to everyone here. A, if you think that you might have any issues with alcohol, you know, that is worth its weight in gold. B, if you have somebody in your family who you're concerned about, like I do with my daughter, you know, I'm conspiring with my ex-wife to try to figure out how we can get her to listen to this, because I truly believe if she just listened to the first two of those, that it would be life-changing. I think she would finally realize what's going on inside her own head and not feel shitty about it, not feel shitty at all about it. It's just kind of like a revelation that's like, whoa, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how it impacts me. But for all of those of you who aren't afflicted, and that's, you know, most of you, it is really psychologically an awesome series to listen to, because it'll get you thinking about the world differently. And I think that we have to almost look through a different lens right now when dealing with other people who are not, like, who are not alcoholics. If you're a truther, who are not truthers out there. And it'll all make sense to you. Those of you who take me up on that, you'll listen to it and you'll say, okay, I get what Uncle Odd's saying. Because anyway, okay, I'm done with that. I just had to share that because it came to mind. Okay. Sorry about that. I digressed.
Ever consider a rowboat, John?
What's that?
Not yet, but if it came to that, I mean, yeah, eventually you have to weigh up all options, don't you? You have to weigh up all options. So the reason why I shared, Miguel, the reason I shared this question about, like, would you do this, would you do that, is because maybe these tips up the nose is like the tip of the spear. Like, that's the thin end of the wedge. We don't know what's coming next year and beyond that. So I hear people saying, I would never do this, I'd never do that. And I'm like, okay, you say that, but how far have people thought through this? People might be put in situations where there's no perfect solution, so you have to make the best decision for yourself or for your family, whatever. It might even be with vaccines eventually. People who right now are saying, I would never do it. Maybe there comes a time where actually that is the better of two evils, I'm trying to say.
Well, at my work, I've talked to people about the jab, and they're like, I'll never take it unless my job requires me to. And in my personal belief, I won't work. I will get fired for it because it'll never happen. I don't wear a mask at work. When I go around other people, I have a mosquito net that I wear, which just proves to everyone how retarded it is, because
you have a mosquito net.
Yes.
Can we see that?
I love that.
I want one.
That is so great, because it's just a middle finger. You know, it's like, okay, you require them. That's great. That's what you wear into Costco. You know, those sexy fishnet stockings that, you know, all the actresses wear, the porn stars.
I've worn them myself.
Yeah, maybe Karen has a pair. Come on, what are you?
Oh, well, yeah, I might do, yeah. So,
but if you
don't have to be a porn star to wear that, come on, man.
You know, I'm just thinking about that picture you texted me when you were wearing the stockings, Ab.
Yeah, that was over my head, though.
But I like the idea of a fishnet one. I mean, to where it's just super, super obvious.
Yeah. Do they actually have a requirement for the actual makeup of the mask?
No.
I've seen someone on Twitter, famous person, total demon, if you ask me, wearing a crocheted mask.
Mm-hmm. I wear a balaclava that is...
So what is that? Let me see that. Put it on.
I wear a balaclava that's mostly crochet.
And I bet no one...
My beard sticks out through it, and they're like, we can see your beard hairs. And then, of course, they tell me I'm wearing my wife's lingerie, and, you know, I don't care. But it's a joke, and my boss is okay with this.
That's so great. Good boss.
But I wore, last winter, I wore a neck garter because of we drill through dust and aluminum. And I wore that because it's cold and also because I have asthma.
Yeah.
And it was just for the dust particles. And he's like, that is not an OSHA-approved mask. It will not protect you from the dust. Period. I'm like, wait. But now it'll protect me from a virus? Come on. You're intelligent. you know it's not going to protect me from dust that we drill through.
But there's no OSHA rules on the COVID mask, though. That's the thing. The COVID mask has no rules, does it?
No, but the COVID mask, and I know from the lawsuit that OSHA has declared it to be both a medical device, but one that that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even OSHA says that they put out a thing saying that certain masks can be reused, but then they rescinded that and they said, well, these ones can't be. But we're still reusing them.
Well, I wouldn't wear the mosquito net if I was drilling drywall. Because that's not going to – I would want to keep the drywall dust out of my lungs because then you're just going to have to expel that down the line.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, for me personally, I don't wear a mask at all unless I have to. I'm around people.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to my boss about it. I was like, even when I have an asthma attack, if I cover my mouth with a mask to protect me from any dust that's around me, well, I'm already struggling to breathe. Now I'm covering my mouth and I can't get any oxygen, I'm going to kill myself. Can't do it. So, you know, he compromised and said, okay, you can wear that. And it's just like, it goes right over their head. Like, they can't see that. And the net's fine, but no mask isn't. It's like, wait, come on. You know, and it's always, he's always preaching to us to get the flu vaccine and blah, blah.
Your boss is preaching that? That's disgusting.
Every meeting we have, it's like, have you got your flu shot yet? Let me see a show of hands.
Oh, you're kidding. Is he getting paid? Must be. I think Big Harma is paying everybody. There, we can't fathom the amount of money that's being poured in from the top. We're talking trillions. So there is enough money for everyone to be bribed, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, can I chime in here?
Always.
Okay. So again, this is Andre over in Oregon. And, you know, back to the way I see it is one of the main instigators that keeps this paradigm rolling forward is how the businesses have become the watchdogs for the governors or watchdogs for OSHA or the Department of Health. And, you know, the businesses are the middlemen, if you will, between us and government to a large extent, because we rely on them and we use their services and we interact with them. And of course, then we're all getting our cues from the businesses, because if they put their signs up on the doors, then society is getting its cue from them and we're getting our cues from each other. And it's this self-fulfilling prophecy. And so, you know, consistent with what you're working on, Todd, and what Peggy Hall is working on and others. Here in Oregon, I'm just about to next week's work on a project really to target the businesses and to provide them with the information. First of all, the lawful information on where they actually cannot deny one entry based on mask. And then just the science of COVID and how there really is nothing to worry about. So you don't need to worry about that. And then steps they can take. And it's, that's the way I see that we can help move through this. And there's already a group of us, there are about 70 of us who have gathered who are prepared to take this on. Mm-hmm. And there's a few businesses in my little town who are already, so Oregon, remember, is one of the real strict states. Mm-hmm. And so there's no sitting down for meals. Everywhere you must wear a mask to go in. And so when you really are a no mask in Oregon, it's really hard to wear a mask. It's hard to make it work, right? And so, but there's two restaurants now that are fully in action, come in, service, sit down in total defiance. And all it takes is just more and more of those.
Hey,
and
Andre.
So, yeah.
Andre, do you think that you could, would the proprietors of those restaurants and you and anyone else in your group that you would deem appropriate, would they be open to having a Zoom call to talk about it all? I think this is.
Yeah, for sure. I think we should maybe wait another, if you don't mind, maybe wait another 2 weeks. Because sure. Next week I have the week off, so I'm going
no problem.
I'm gonna work on this website. I'm going to work on the information. And the idea is, we're just going to need to go door to door. That's how it's going to work. And the one or two businesses that are already doing it, all they need to do is knock on their neighbor's door, right, and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Join us. Because at the end of the day, if we don't just
– I think that's brilliant.
You know, if we don't just say no, then it becomes the new normal. And again, people are mostly taking their cues from other people. And we'd be surprised at how many people really either see that this is a farce or don't really believe it and would much rather not wear a mask, but they're doing it because they feel that that's what we need to do right now as good people. And I think there's another comment, which is the reason this effort is so successful right now is because fundamentally, I think fundamentally most people want to, quote, do good. They want to be seen as do-gooders. They want to take care of their brothers and sisters in society. Right. And so this whole moment in time has been branded as an effort to keep each other safe, right? And so my mother is an example of that. She's just a beautiful, kind, loving woman and feels that she must do her part, right? As many
need some help.
Must do, and you know, to protect the greater good. And yeah. Obviously she's not thinking it through, well, but I'll help, yeah. That's the reason this is working, is because it's capitalizing on our innate desire to be good to each other. And so that's the good news, is that if we can flip that, right? Flip that innate goodness, flip it from the dark, serving the dark lords out of goodness to serving the light, then we're on our way.
Hey, Andre.
Yo.
Did you ever believe we went to the moon?
I'm still trying to deconstruct that one. I definitely do not, and I don't know what your position is. I definitely do not believe, and I will say no, that the Earth is not flat, that it is round. But with regards to the moon, I don't know. I haven't gone down that rabbit hole deep enough to really look at the evidence.
Well, or choose your hoax. Here's the thing about the people out there that you're describing that just want to do good. I remember when I arrived at the conclusion for myself, when I was satisfied myself that we never went to the moon, and how, you know, how they say the truth will set you free. Well, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off after it's driven you almost insane, because you just cannot believe you've been lied to your whole life. It is just bigger than you, you know? And then those of us on this call have been down so many rabbit holes when it's now second nature to us to either auto hoax or to really question things with sincerity. But the people in our operating realities now who just want to do good, who do not consume news beyond, you know, mainstream television or mainstream sources, to get them to even come close to believing that this is all bullshit will break their brains. And that's what I think is
the totally get it.
Greatest area of success,
yeah,
of these DBBs, is that they have played this out so well that because of the conditioning and the programming, and the utter onslaught of false information through media-induced fakery, that the only way that we on the call are going to win the minds of those who are believers is going to be by breaking their brains. And I don't know how you scramble those eggs and put them back together. It's elusive.
I think it happens in small steps. So I did it. I'm really, really fortunate that I don't work for anyone. I'm a general contractor. I have my own small business, and I just repair a lot of homes, or I'll do remodels. And I've been able to completely, remember, it's really hard in Oregon, but I've been able to completely be mask free from mm-hmm. day one. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't get on an airplane tomorrow. First of all, I set the conditions with any new clients. Like I won't wear a mask. I don't participate in social distancing. If that's uncomfortable for you, I'm not the right person for you. So yesterday, one of my existing clients, they're both over 80. They needed me to come and look at something. There was a leaky something in their bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them know my conditions, and they said, "Oh, well, will you be okay if we wear a mask?" I said, "Yes, you may." And then they said, "We'd be curious in understanding your position." So I go do what I need to do, and then the two 80-year-olds, we start talking. And at the very beginning, it was very difficult because we have our relationship. They've always appreciated me. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to new territory. You know, we're talking about stuff. And it's very clear, of course, that they listen to and he made it clear, you know, they're CNBCers and they're the newspapers. Okay. So I had to, you know, walk through the deconstruction one by one, and they can see it unraveling in front of their eyes because you walk them through the logical steps of the conversation, and the story begins to unravel, but then they grab for what they can grab. Well, what about that? Or what about polio vaccine? You know, he's 80, right? I had polio when I was young, and thank God for the vaccination schedule. And I said, well, that's a different conversation. We can address that one too. But right now, let's stick to this. So I keep them on track. And you can see that they're nervous and that it's pushing them. But I could also see the wife quiet. You could see her brain. Her brain was ticking away while the husband was pushing back more. You could see I was getting through. And at the very end, he said, 45 minutes later, you know, thank you very much. Boy, you definitely know what you're talking about. I've never heard anyone explain it that well.
Wow.
But he did say, I still think I'll stick with the experts. And I reminded him that the experts are not settled on this. Then I told him about, for example, the Great Barrington Declaration. That's an easy one to send people to. Even though it's still a little mainstream, it's still a good one to start. You know, 50,000 plus signatures by experts, right? And you say, oh, you want your experts? I'll go over there, right? but my point is, I think the answer is just a little bit here and there, a little bit here and there, a little bit here and there. I think that's all we can do. And also, you know, and don't be disappointed that it might go nowhere. And as well,
and thank you for saying that and reminding me, because that what you just said grounded the reason why I showed that Joe and Charlie book. It's because it started, AA started back in the 30s between, you know, two alcoholics having a conversation together. And back then they didn't understand it. It was like, if you were afflicted with that, you're going to die. You're going to just self-destruct. And so two became three. And by the time they wrote the big book, it was 100 of them who had beat the disease. You know, you never beat alcoholism. You just, you can recover from it. Meaning you can, if you do the right things and you have the right mindset, you can, not take another drink the rest of your life. And that was their point. It all started one alcoholic to another alcoholic. And what you're talking about is, you know, one truth from you to an 80-year-old person with a voyeur of a wife listening in, that her little truth detector's going boop, boop, you know, and maybe you're right. Maybe that's the way to do it. Is just to be able to one at a time and try to determine how you can distill it down to a couple of points to be able to just put the pebbles in the shoe to get them to think differently, which is why I'm very grateful for Ab and what he's done with FACOtube.com, because I have found that to be a great destination site for people who, when I do have a conversation with them, it's just very easy for them to remember. Just go to FACOtube.com. You can go down as far as you want, look at any video, but what's going to happen is those have been curated to such a level, there's nothing that's going to not be true if you're kind of on our side. So it's going to either wake you up or it's going to piss you off.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah.
Can I jump in here?
Sure, please.
Andre brought up three quick points I want to make. About the Great Barrington, whatever it's called, is a piece of shit. Let me explain what you get when you agree to sign that piece of shit. You agree that we're in a legitimate global health emergency. You agree that the PCR is a valid diagnostic test for COVID. You agree that we should constrain targeted groups of healthy people. And you agree that you should isolate old people.
Hmm.
Sounds like you agree to everything mainstream.
Right. So that's that. That's point number one. Point number two, I just posted into the and maybe someone can post this onto YouTube chat, a Facebook post of all of the restaurants and gyms in Pennsylvania. And there's a growing number of states that are doing this. And there are hundreds in Pennsylvania. And you can interview these people, Todd, who are ignoring the lockdown flat out.
Okay.
In fact, we visit these places and eat there. Sometimes it's a good experience. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the food's not.
Is that the Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just posted it in the chat.
And number three for Andre, if you look at this picture again, you might want to post this into the YouTube chat. If you think that we went to the moon in this, I will send you $1,000 by PayPal right now.
Okay,
let's just say goodnight to John LeBon. He's exiting the stage. Appreciate having him here.
Johnny, you're exiting?
Yeah, it's 4:30 in the morning, so it's probably time I go and get some sleep.
Please keep us posted on your journey, and I wish upon you a beautifully faked PCR test.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I will keep you updated. Thanks for having me. You're doing wonderful work here. And thanks everyone on the call. In the live chat, there's 50 people, Uncle Odd. Did you know that? It could be an all-time record for you. There's 50 people watching live.
That's awesome. Good call.
That's fantastic. Awesome. So well done. Thanks, everybody. I have to go and get some sleep. But
okay, get some sleep and safe travels.
Stay sane. And we still want to know why you're going to Bulgaria.
Yes.
In the next call, Ab, you and Marcus are going to finally duke it out about Bitcoin, and I'll just be sitting there eating popcorn, man. It's going to be fantastic because you cleverly sort of dodged the question on the last call, didn't you?
I'm giving it out as a Christmas present.
I see you, man. I see what you're doing.
I'm giving it out as a Christmas present this year. I'm waiting for wallets. Send me your wallet.
I look forward to it. Guys, take care, and I'll see you next time, all right? Good night. Uncle Lord, man, congratulations on this year. You've done well, and hopefully next year is onwards and upwards. All right, cheers, guys.
All right, take care.
There goes Johnny. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. I'm going to share the screen here. And so, Marcus, why don't you explain this?
Yeah, it's a piece of tin foil.
So is this just a model, or is this?
No. And read it. It says, although the lander may appear flimsy and gangly, says NASM curator Alan Needle, the craft represents a very pure design built for a very specific mission. And this is in the Smithsonian.
In other words, a stiff wind would blow it apart.
Give me a break.
Okay, so Andre, do you want to respond back to that?
Andre is gone.
What's that?
I didn't see him in the...
Andre's battery died, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was a NASA battery.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the actual model that went to the moon.
No, that's not the model. That's the actual lander that we're told went to the moon.
And back.
At the Smithsonian.
And back.
Right.
Did it crash into the ocean when it came back? I can't remember.
Something like that.
That is.
I'm gonna send that to my dad right now.
The thing that Andre was also saying about how they're just trying to do good, whatever. We got kicked out of our local grocery store. We're not allowed in there because we don't wear masks. So it's local to this area, and I called their corporate, and they said it's their policy, but it's not written anywhere. But they said, well, there's been lawsuits in Pennsylvania that show that we have a right to do this, and we can impose medical interventions according to the lawsuits that have been lost or whatever that we've won, basically. So I'm like, well, so I looked it up, and really what it says, they're just lying to you. And they said that the man who was doing the lawsuit, he... has social media posts with him wearing a mask. And so the judge is saying, well, you're clearly able to wear a mask, so you have no leg to stand on for your lawsuit because you're clearly wearing a mask on social media. So that's the lawsuit that they're talking about, because that's the only one I found saying that the judge, but it can still go to court. It hasn't been resolved. But the big corporate businesses, that's all they're saying. And they're, oh, yeah, our lawyers are telling us we can do this.
And, well, they're being given bad legal advice.
Oh, yes.
So, look, I mean, it's just with my lawsuit with Costco, it is just so self-evident when you read through it. They just don't have a leg to stand on. period, end of story. A company can make policy, but it cannot violate the law. And so another question to be able to ask, especially if law enforcement is called, is cite the law I am violating. And trespass doesn't work because you can't trespass on a public accommodation unless you are disrupting. If you're shopping like you normally do, which is fine every, you know, day of the week or once a weekend or whenever you shop, if you are not disrupting anybody else's shopping or you're not causing a scene, and causing a scene is not just freely breathing, that is not breaking any law to where they could arrest you for trespass. Now, I know that you, Miguel, were threatened with trespass, right? Yeah, or,
absolutely. And ask if she wants to come out.
Were you cited?
The police officer told me that I told them, you know, private companies cannot make policy that violates the law. And he said, yes, they can. You just have to go sue them and win money later. And I'm like, and after that point, you can't really do anything because they're like, yes, they can. And I'm like,
and then ask him if he's comfortable. Are you comfortable being party to a lawsuit? Because you will become with this false arrest.
I just left. And then I was out in the public, you know, outside of the thing. He's like, if you know the law so well, I'll arrest you right now. And I'm like, on what grounds? He's like, you're on their property. And I'm like, I am not on their property. I'm on public property right now. Arrest me. I dare you. And at that point, he was like, oh, so you're a sovereign. You consider yourself a sovereign citizen. And then at that point, it was over. They wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't give me their information. It was, yeah.
And so your basis was what again?
That I'm on my basis. He said he was just going to arrest me because I was trespassing in their property and I'm outside the store. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Arrest me now. And you'll be liable for false arrest and false imprisonment because I'm on public property right now. And then, you know, it doesn't matter what I said to them. He said it was just they can make whatever policy they want. And this is a sergeant just lying out of the teeth. And they're
well, that is one thing, as much as it pissed me off when Peggy Hall went down the if you buy before midnight tonight path on her last video and just basically selling out. I know she's not. That's why I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. But please, Peggy, if you ever listen to this, just stop it. You don't need it. You need to make a shekel or two. Start a GoFundMe. I'll be the first to throw $100 at it. But she is creating a basically, you know, like I like to do. She's creating her own card that is going to have, you know, exactly what you say to law enforcement officers to basically let them know that you have the capacity to be able to know your rights. And what's that? No, they won't look at it, but what you can do is you can vocally read it to them. And you know, if you can turn on your recorder or whatever, but you can vocally read it to them because you just need to have cause. And that can be then when you write your statement of facts, you can tell them that you read this and cited exactly where you're citing law and everything. That becomes part of the public record, part of the lawsuit.
From what I was understanding from these police officers, they're like, oh, that's civil. We don't deal in civil law. We only deal in criminal law. Is basically what he told me, and civil law is not something that can be arrested for. And I'm like, they don't call it law. They say that's civil. I'm like, it's civil rights law. Oh, no, that's not a law. It's not, whatever. It's not criminal. They'll say it's not criminal. And no matter what you
sir, you're getting your sir. I don't know where you're getting the legal advice, but it's really bad legal advice. And
I understand that, and it's
I like, know they don't give a shit.
Block in their brain that they just I'm a peasant. They're my guardian, and they can treat me however they want. Is really how they see it.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, we need to sue and we need to win. We need to go through the process, you know? I mean,
yeah, it's frustrating. It really is. I mean, everywhere we go, we're the only non-maskers. And if there is one or two, maybe.
Well, and I know you have a little different challenge because you go in with your entire posse maskless.
Yes,
so it's different than if I just go in maskless. You know, I think, I don't know, perhaps it's I'm a fairly tall guy and I go in with lots of confidence and I don't give a shit and I'll look anyone in the eye and I just think people, my energy or whatever, people don't confront me, it seems, and I'm prepared if they do. But I could really appreciate it if I was going into a store with my wife and two of my daughters, just a different, I mean, it's a challenge. So I really respect the fact that you guys are holding firm to that. So what are you doing now since you can't go in there to get your food?
We go elsewhere. I mean, there's other stores.
Okay.
There's an Aldi's here, but the little striking van kill, which is a grocery store, we can't go in.
I see.
And, you know, we're pursuing our lawsuit with Costco as well. But, yeah, it's a slow process. But, I mean, like yesterday, we were at Walmart, and I met someone that used to work with me, and he was wearing a mask, and he's like, how'd you get in here without a mask? And I'm like, I never wear a mask anywhere I go, and if they refuse me, I won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Walmart has lost lawsuits in Houston, and they won't enforce it. And he was like, oh, really? And he was about to pull his mask off, and he's like, oh, wait, my aunt, my mom has diabetes. And I'm like, look around you. Everyone is wearing a mask in the store. Everyone. We're the only ones who not. Everyone is wearing it. And yet, the numbers are still going up. If masks work.
That's a great line.
How is the number still going up?
That's what we've got here in the UK. You know, we've had masks since August like you have. And now apparently I've just been sent an article saying that we've got this mutant strain. Yes. That is 56% more contagious. We're going to expect more deaths. Everyone's been wearing a mask. Wearing a mask.
That fiction. Now, all of us here who are awake to it, it is just like they get they get their, you know, literature students on a retreat, a weekend retreat, to be able to say, okay, who, there's going to be $100 prize and bragging rights with who can come up with the greatest fictitious bullshit that people will. So now we have a mutant strain.
We're calling it the mutant. Yeah.
I think if my research has it right, it's actually a Japanese mutant ninja strain.
Whoa. It's not, wait, don't blame me. Don't blame us. It's not our strain.
It's the Japs. Yeah.
No. Wait, I'm Japanese. Yeah. Hold that back.
Apparently, Australia and Denmark have seen it as well. So there hasn't been mentioned Japan, but yeah, we are the biohazards of Europe now because of this mutant strain.
But isn't it funny?
Some evidence of the first one.
Isn't it funny though? Now that we look through our lens, to where you just look at this stuff and you're shaking your head like this is a cartoon now.
Literally a cartoon.
If you believe all of this, you are believing a cartoon, and it's a little bit sad.
Well, it's like the radio station, because one of the guys at work, he plays the radio, turns the radio on in the car when I drive the truck around, and I happen to hear some of the BS that goes on, and he's like, well, I just heard about the new strain in England, and 90% of the chance it's already here in the States, and they're saying it spreads 50% faster than the other strain, but we don't have to worry about more deaths. And I'm like, well, if Sprint's 50% faster, that means 50% more people are going to die. I mean, it's just going to add up. But no, don't worry about that. It's like,
but what people are failing to realize is that over here in England, it's winter. It's cold. Everybody gets lots of people get ill. Not everybody, but lots of people get ill with colds and flu, bronchitis, pneumonia. It happens every year.
It's almost like it's detox.
But it doesn't exist. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe our bodies since the beginning of time go through detox, and all of the shit that gets into our systems, maybe that once a year, usually, you know, when it's kind of winter months, that your body says, "Hey, we got a clean house here, and let's get all of these toxins out of our body." And then they call upon what some call a virus, other people might call it an exosome. They look exactly the same. And one theory says that viruses come from outside and invade your body. The other side, that's the train theory, the right side, says that these exosomes are called on, that they're bloodborne, that they are called into the cells to basically act like a sponge, to be able to soak up the toxins and then pull them out of your cells, doing a great job, by the way. And then they signal the rest of the body, which can be your skin, and say, "Hey, sweat me out. Hey, nausea, Mr. Nausea, puke me out. Hey, Mr. Diarrhea, take me out that direction. We don't care. Hey, nose. Lungs, cough me out. We don't care." But all of these little guys, these warriors that have gone in and sucked and soaked up all of the toxins, they want to get out of there. They want to get out of your body. And that's called detox. That's called the flu. It's called the cold. It happens every year. Some people who take really good care of their bodies, who mind what they eat, who may not drink a lot or whatever. There are a lot of people out there who haven't had a flu for a long time, you know. But if you're big harma, people who go through detox, well, you can't make money off of people naturally detoxing their body once a season or once every other season. That's what this is all about. Anyone who is watching this who may not be informed that there were two theories, the germ theory and the terrain theory. But the bottom line is there is no BV boogie virus that invades your body. It doesn't exist. Zero. They haven't isolated it. They haven't.
This is what I'm trying to tell people.
Yeah. It does not exist. Now, that breaks people's brain because we have all been programmed to believe that it exists. But it does not. So I think that if you can explain the terrain theory to people, it might just ring true and maybe they do a little bit more research. And the other thing that I found that has been quite effective in at least getting people's attention is to let people know that the number one hospital admission right now is bacterial pneumonia. Why? It's because everyone is wearing these ridiculous masks. Now, what happens, and forgive me those who have heard me say this, but look, this is the Christmas call, and I really feel the need to say it because somebody might be watching this new. Just think about this logically right now, okay? When you put on a mask, let's call it a cloth mask, that designer cloth mask that looks so cute with your clothes, and you hang it on your mirror when you drive into your home. And then you're going out and you're driving. Maybe you put it on in your car. Maybe you don't. But you get to the grocery store and you put it on. Or you get to work and you put it on. Now, when you eat anything, what happens is you might brush your teeth, but sometimes we miss, right? We don't get everything. But there are these friends in your mouth called bacteria. And those bacteria, they go and they consume the food. They do their job. They break it down and they take a shit in your mouth. Now, what happens normally in the world is we exhale and we are exhaling
through the midst or whatever, both bacteria and bacteria shit. When you smell someone's bad breath, you're smelling their bacteria shit. It's kind of like when someone passes gas, you know, you're smelling something that came from them, right? Little bitty particles. Okay. Now imagine that bacteria shit now has a shield on it and is getting caught in your mask the whole day. So what happens when you hang it up in the baking, in the bakery, which is, you know, where the sun comes in and you have it hanging up and it warms it up, that bacteria and bacteria shit, that ends up forming bacteria colonies. So now the next time you go to work or you go and you put that mask on, now you've got bacteria shit in your mask embedded in there, and it's harder to breathe in oxygen. Like right now, everyone, I'm breathing in. Now, you put a mask over me or something, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to breathe harder to get the same amount of oxygen. So what happens is when you're breathing that in, some of that bacteria shit and bacteria releases. It goes, is sucked into your lungs, and it rests there. Now, why is bacterial pneumonia the number one hospital admission today? Not for the boogie virus, not for COVID, bacterial pneumonia. Just think that through the next time you put on that mask, and you know what you're really breathing in, or better yet, think about what you are making your kids breathe in, or when they go to school, or just have some compassion, please. These parents that have their kid in my neighborhood, my God, there are so many kids riding their bikes in their neighborhood wearing a freaking mask. And I'm just thinking, this is utter child abuse, because these kids are breathing in their bacteria and they're going to get sick. Okay. That's, I'm out. I'm done. Had to get
that. I bring that up to people at work and they say, well, you know, it's bacterial pneumonia because the virus is a cold, but then it mutates while you're there, while you're sick, and then it transfers to pneumonia.
No, it doesn't. Stop lying. That's what you need to start telling people. Stop
lying.
And I also
tell them the CDC numbers, and they're like, well, the CDC is unreliable now. We can't trust them. And I'm like, and yet we are using their guidelines to force this mass mandate. But, and then they can't get past that. They're like, no, we can't trust them. And I'm like, and yet you wear a mask.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. The next time somebody asks me why you aren't wearing a mask, I think I'm going to say, my mask stopped working back in April when I figured out that this is all a hoax, and just see what they say.
It's disheartening to, you know, see everyone panic at my work when someone tests positive. And they all panic. And of course, I don't panic. Oh, another story I was going to say, another coworker, he got sick, you know, which is the regular flu. So he told the bosses, they told him to go get a test. So he got a test negative. So he called and said, well, I'm negative. Well, he started to get sicker. So they said, well, go get another test. Yeah. So he got another test, still negative. Well, call the Blue Care Anywhere, you know, hospital, phone line hospital, and see what they say. So he called them up. Oh yeah, you need it. You're a false negative. We're going to put you down as you had it. You can't go back to work until you have another negative test. We have a huge problem with false negatives. I'm like, well, then what is another negative test going to do? So he had three tests, all negative. I'm like,
no,
I don't get it.
It's a cartoon, guys. We're living in a cartoon. And, but I think that, I don't know, man, we just have to start calling people on it, being a lot more direct, just saying, you know, and another one is, look, do you really want the truth? Are you open to an alternative point of view to the TV programming? If I tell you that your TV is lying to you, and if I tell you that this virus does not exist, are you open to just a little bit of research. And if you are, now, this is what I think is fairly easy now, because BitChute, whatever you think about it, it seems to be a repository of truth right now. They aren't censoring anything. So I encourage people to just tell people, go to BitChute and research the Great Reset, COVID-19 platform, Klaus Schwab, Agenda 21. Just go to BitChute, PCR test, do hashtag PCR test. Just go there and watch some videos. That is a wonderful destination for people who want to do alternative research. And I hope people are open to this. Wouldn't it be great if this really doesn't exist? That would be another good question to ask. Let me ask you this, sir. If you woke up tomorrow and there was somebody who you highly trusted who looked you in the eye and they said, John, the TV's been lying to you. There is no virus. There never was. There's never been a pandemic. This is all, have you heard of the New World Order? It exists. And they made their move in 2020. So everything that we are experiencing right now is based on a lie. And if you really trusted that person, wouldn't that kind of bring you some relief? Wouldn't it bring you some relief to where you could kind of reconcile this world to where you're like, there's this BV that's going around. My operating reality is telling me that nobody is dropping dead like flies. I don't know anybody, you know, and people are testing positive for COVID and they don't have symptoms, or people who do have symptoms, you know, I think they just have the flu and they're testing negative. I don't know. It's so confusing. And why do I have to lock down? And my favorite restaurants are now closed. My wife had a baby and I couldn't even go into delivery, and my parents are in old folks home right now, and we had to put my father in an old folks home, and for 6 months I haven't even been able to go in and see him, and it's breaking my heart. You know, wouldn't it help you reconcile the world if you knew that this was all a fraud and there's some nefarious people behind it? Wouldn't that be kind of eye-opening and oddly make you feel a little bit better, that knowing that there really isn't this silent assassin that can kill you, your family, your extended family, your neighbors, your colleagues? I mean, I think that is a line of questioning that is fair for us to take right now. I'm going to try that. I'm just kind of role playing out loud, but I think I want to position it that way, to try to just get people to think, you know, not me preaching to you, but if there was somebody you trusted in your life and tomorrow morning they had a conversation with you and sat you down and they said this, I don't know. I think it's worth a try. I'm open for anything, because right now it's whatever else I've been doing hasn't seemed to be working.
It doesn't seem to work. I was, my daughter went, of course, you know, to a friend's house, and I went over there because they invited us over for a dinner. They're on that. They believe it, but you know, they see this, not really, you know, so they didn't allow anyone going over to the house for a while, but anyway, so now they're letting us as a family to go over there.
That's nice.
Basically the only ones. But while I was over there, it just came out the article from the CDC that they hadn't isolated the virus yet, and they don't really know what they're testing for. We know it's in that cluster, but we're not quite sure what it is yet. And I started telling them
early for what?
That story from the CDC, and she's like, "Well, I'm a nurse, and I
let's do the gravy, girlie.
It's real because I had it.
I know."
And I was so sick, and I was like,
"And here's the punchline, right? Because I swear to God, for 3 weeks, I couldn't taste the difference between sugar and salt. It was, and you know, I don't know how to answer that, because I'm not, I have a best friend and his was going to be wife, but their wedding got postponed because of all of this. But they both got sick early on and, were really sick for a couple of weeks. And my best buddy was like, I don't know what it is, but man, I haven't been able to smell or taste. So there's something there. So go ahead.
What you can tell them with that is the taste and smell are, well, your smell is affected obviously with your sinuses. When you have a cold, you have a sinus blocked up nose, you can't smell. And it was normal before. It was just a normal.
Okay. So time out. Time out. So what you just said was that, or let me reposition it. I'm a Druid Babylonian bastard and we're wargaming this. Now, we know that every time someone has gotten the flu or really bad cold or whatever, they may not know it, but they lose their taste, they lose their smell. So what we're going to do is we're going to come out with an ad campaign and just beat the shit out of that, to where we're going to tell people, we're going to hypnotize people that if you start losing your taste and smell, you know you likely have the boogie virus. So is that what you're saying, Miguel, is that basically this has always been the case, but now that they have just watch, it's going back and forth. You have lost your taste. You have
everything
lost.
That they say is, oh yeah, whenever they bring them up in the meetings that we have, oh yeah, I had it and definitely lost my taste. I'm like, you lost your sense of smell because you were stuffed up. You lost your sense of taste because your taste is affected by your smell. So if you can't smell properly, you can't taste properly. And me having allergies and sinus problems, I know it firsthand. And then I also tell people, well, have you ever heard of a hypochondriac? So, well, people are getting this. And I'm like, okay, well, what's a hypochondriac? They look at a symptom and they go, shit, that's me. I have that. I have that sickness.
That's a great point.
And they're just doing it on a mass scale to the people.
They are now mass manufacturing hypochondriacs. I love that. And By the way, my daughter, 17-year-old daughter, she had COVID-19. She was diagnosed with it. She was quarantined. Those of you who used to follow my channel, which was, gone, know that I did a daily update to where it was Uncle Odd with no mask touching everything that I could in my house against the boogie virus. And every day I reported in Uncle Odd 1, boogie virus 0. I got to Uncle Odd 7 days in a row, boogie virus 0. And I went through the whole thing and I didn't get sick. But what I will tell you is my daughter, who you'd think that I'd wear off on her a little bit, and I have, but even though she knows the truth, I overheard her conversations through her doors bragging to her friends that she was a boogie virus survivor. So people now wear it as a badge of honor that they were a survivor. They suffered through, some kind of cost, hollow or whatever. I know you can't say it. But they're a survivor. And so now we have our COVID survivors. And boy, oh boy, there's something empowering about having beat this back. You were there in 2020. You had it too.
We got our new updated COVID care from our, human health resources, whatever. And it's like what you should do if you think you've been in contact and so on and so forth. And one of them is like, should you get tested? And that's the question. And it says, if you have symptoms, get tested. If you've been around someone who has tested positive and you were in close contact with them for longer than 15 minutes. So I'm like, longer than 15. So they could be sitting there coughing on me, spitting their saliva on me. As long as I'm not there for more than 15 minutes, I don't have to get tested. Is that what you're telling me?
May I make an observation here? Just an empirical observation. Because I think, forget the vaccines. I think there's something better than a vaccine ever could be. And I don't know if anyone stumbled upon this, and I may patent this. I just got to figure out what the product is. But I have been shopping at my local Publix since the beginning, and the same workers have been there from the beginning. And I see them every week, same ones, every week. To the best of my knowledge, there has not been any turnover at my local Publix. So there is something that is happening with this boogie virus that it does not assault those who handle groceries. And so I don't know if we create some training camps to where we become grocers ourselves. We stock some shelves because I think that builds up immunity because, you know, the boogie virus absolutely respects those barriers. I think the same goes for Amazon warehouses and certainly the delivery drivers. But there's a there that I think we could all capitalize on because
they all wear masks.
But the cases are going up. And of course, you know, cases are equivalent to
death. They're not wearing their masks.
But
stop it.
The people who are, but the people who are getting sick, overwhelmingly, they were mask advocates and they wore the masks. The people like me and you and Karen and those who haven't, for whatever reason, we aren't coming down with anything other than a cold. And we're survivors. We you know, our immune systems are, you know, 99.9% effective at battling this. So I don't know. It obviously I'm being sarcastic, but to be able to just make an assessment, and it's like they so pick and choose with
they
this.
I know someone personally who works at a nursing home, and they get tested twice a week. And they told him that if he tests positive, and they test themselves now, they just come and they do a little swab at in their nose, and then they send it off. So they can do whatever they want with it. But
did you see the dude who did his left nostril and his right nostril, and they came back, one came back positive, one came back negative.
But if they're asymptomatic or they don't have symptoms, but they test positive, they are still allowed to come to work.
So as a silent assassin?
Yes, because now the silent, I mean, they're like, and we get direct communication from the CDC daily. So it changes daily for them. So like if they're positive but no symptoms, they can still come to work. They can only not come to work if they have symptoms. I'm like, and you still, but he believes it.
I like, don't understand why you would get tested if you haven't got symptoms.
I'm like, what does that tell you? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, it tells you that it's bullshit. Oh, no, it's just because the CDC is changing it. I'm like, it's bullshit.
I think we got to start being more bold and just being almost not mocking, but just very pragmatic, saying, I do not believe it because I'm not under the spell. And if they argue or whatever, no problem. I get it. You're under the spell. I get it. There are those of us who have the ability to critically think, and we do our own research, and we don't just consume from the mainstream news or the mainstream online sources. And there are quite a few of us out there who recognize this is all bullshit. We are not under the spell. But you, I think it's self-induced because you're not even open to dialogue or discussion. If you are, you know, at the point in time you are, then I'm your guy. We can have a really good conversation. But just know you are under the spell. You are literally under a spell. And man, oh man, I'm here to tell you, it's hard for the spell to be broken. But it has you by the short curlies, my friend. I probably shouldn't have said that, but you know what I'm saying.
The other thing about this, I was also telling him about the jab. If you get the jab, hypothetically, you know, you're one in a billion cases and you get gangrene and you lose your limbs. He's like, well, I have to take, what if I have to take it for work? I got to go to work. I'm like, okay, so hypothetically you take it. Now you lose your legs. What do you do? Hypothetically, of course. And he's like, well, you know, I'll be dead. And he gets, they get money for, you know, my health, you know, life insurance. I'm like, okay, but you didn't die. You lost your legs. And then, of course, his husband's like, that means now I have an invalid that I have to take care of and no money. And, but they're all, they're like, they don't even think of possibilities of down the line. Well, my boss got the vax yesterday and he's okay today. And I'm like, okay today doesn't mean anything.
I'm going to try to find a, here. Let me, I created this. Why isn't it giving me? Man. Sorry, this is bad. Bad radio here. I just wanted to, I can't remember the name of it, but you know, have you seen the, here it is. Bell's palsy. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah,
that's, you know, there we go. That's kind of why I don't want the jab, because this is an absolute side effect. And we're seeing it a lot, that people who have gotten the flu vaccine and it's whatever's in there is making people half their face go paralyzed. So if you know, and that's kind of a way, especially I showed this to my wife, because she's still she doesn't want the vax, but she still believes that there is something out there. She has not subscribed to the terrain theory. And so I showed her this the other day and I said, I think it's a good look for you, Yana. Just because I have to affect her where it might hurt most, which is, you know, she likes to look good and, you know, all right, guys, it is 4 o'clock. I am, I thought we'd go 2 hours and I'm so delighted we went three, but we're probably wearing out the welcome here for those, who need to take their dogs for a walk like I do, which is just a fake left. The go right is I got to go to the bathroom, guys. I drank too much coffee this morning, but, I really
have, a tube. Your restroom.
Yeah, have you ever seen North Dallas 40?
No.
It's a movie. It's like Burt Reynolds and Nick Nolte way back when they had to go to this retreat where you couldn't go to the bathroom, and so they made this contraption to where they had a flask that had a plastic tube up their leg, so while everything is quiet, all of a sudden you're hearing like water going into a bucket. It's just really, really funny. So I haven't North Dallas 40'd myself up yet, but, okay. Look, Miguel, Karen, anyone, any last words?
There's so much more we can talk about, but I've learned a lot from you today on how to wake people up a little bit easier, because I've tried and I've been accused of all sorts. And then I get them trying to come back at me with research that they've done to prove me wrong.
Right.
So I'm just going to, take your advice on board.
Well, I hope you're part of my Telegram, t.me/UncleOd.
I'm part of one with you in it.
What's that?
I'm part of one with you in it, but I think that might be John's. So
yeah, it could be John's, but and I probably double post a lot just because I think John is it's kind of the same group. I wish we could almost melt them together because it's just a great group of people in both. But Telegram is, I just really like that a lot, and anything that comes to mind. To where I know we're all challenged by the same thing. How do we wake people up? And I'm thinking about that all the time. So if I ever have an aha or anything, usually my go-to is Telegram. I had shared this last week with Ab in one of our conversations that I didn't do last Sunday night because I've really been fatigued, meaning I just have the fatigue of it all. And I know we're all feeling the same thing. This is fatiguing. It's just like, but we can't allow ourselves to get beaten down. But I think it's okay to take a break every once in a while, a mental health break, which I did. And which is why I really value this and all of you and everyone who is, we had over 50 people, 50 people watching at one point. And I think there'll probably be lots more after this. But all of you who are watching this, just know that we're grateful for you. I know that there's a lot of people who are woke or see the truth or are looking for the right through the right lens. And we care. We care deeply about those around us, our families. And man, if we could just snap our fingers and wake people up, that would be great. Do not know the answer. Don't profess to, but can commit to you that I'm going to keep trying to work on it and figuring it out. And I think we'll arrive at something somewhere. And if not, you know, maybe we all end up in the same camp together. That would be okay too.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It does say in the Bible that he will wear out the saints, and that's literally where we're all at right now. We're exhausted from this BS. Yeah. We're wore out, and it's scriptural.
And that's what I loved about what you said earlier when John was on, and I it's been a while since I've even thought about that scripture, but you know, God will send a delusion and out to the masses. And it's just like, whoa, if you kind of look at it through the scriptural lens, you know, what greater delusion could there be out there than what we're witnessing? Right. Mm-hmm. And there, I don't know, guys, but maybe there are probably more than 144,000 of us, but there's that number too in the Bible, which, you know, you start to wonder, well, does that mean us? Who can tell this is bullshit?
And we think about it and we're like, well, shit, who am I? What value do I have as an individual? You know, what does God see in me?
Yeah.
Definitely not the A team. Maybe.
We're not there.
Go down to the D team. Hey, you know, but if you look in the Bible, what did God use? He used the misfits of the. He
absolutely used the misfits.
It wasn't the big, mighty, and strong, what David and Goliath is a true example of it. It was the meek, you know, the foolish of this world is, you know, nothing. You know, the wise are the foolish, and God uses the humble and meek. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Jesus was a homeless carpenter. You know, imagine that these days. Can you imagine having a homeless carpenter come up and knock on your door and say, hey, follow me? Sure. Sure, Big J. So I don't know. I don't underestimate anybody. And the other thing that I don't underestimate is there could be somebody 9 months from now that could be doing this crazy kind of search, who could stumble upon this video, who could have heard something John Laban said, who would have decided to go see his site, who would have triggered something else, and he would have had a conversation with a dude, and then then all of a sudden there is something that happens in this world that you know, would not have happened, absolutely would not have happened if Ab and I didn't have a conversation the other day and said, hey, you know what we should do on Christmas? We should get everyone together. People who have their family, you know, agendas screwed up, and just have kind of a worldwide family Christmas get together. And that began it all. And I'm not saying it will, but I'm just saying that the circumstances that God orchestrates, you just never know. You just never, ever, ever know, which I think is, you know, in the good book, and I'll have to call it in the blue book, in the AA book. It's like, if you just wake up and you do the next right thing, that's kind of the best you can do. You know, just try to do the next best right thing. And, you know, let whomever your higher power is work out the rest. But, so with that, I think that's a good note to end on. And I want to thank everyone and wish you a very, very merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's get to 2021. Let's hang in there together. I look forward to seeing you all again. May do a Friday night. I mean, a Sunday night. Probably you'll do something Sunday night. So that'd be at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I commit. I will do something. In the meantime, man, thank you. Thank you for attending. And thank you for being just as screwed up as me. All right.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you. Take care, everyone. Cheers.